Blog Talk Radio.
Journeyman here on Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio, here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, and today we're going to be talking about how powerful are you? The first step towards success is the idea of realizing one thing, you. Okay, so we're going to be talking also about the book, The Super Beings, which is basically, I call it, an outline to actually becoming a super being. It also gives the many levels in this book, too, as well, of how many levels there are to that journey toward being a super being. So we're going to go over those two, and also today, we're, as always on Thursdays, my co-host, Barbara Reynolds, who also has a show here on Blog Talk Radio. She's a channeler, great, fantastic, round person, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Oh, no problem. It's always a pleasure having you here. I think we have some really great shows on Thursdays, and I think it's all because of you. We'll just go that route. Because I know I've been here by myself on Thursdays, and, you know, I'm just, with this situation, it was great that you also brought this to my attention, because it was kind of funny, because I had done the show, I already did the outline for it, and put it on there as pretty much done, and then you came and said, it's also tomorrow, this work, because I was talking to you earlier.
I didn't remember exactly what the show was about. Okay, and then you said some super beings. I'm sitting there going, hold on for a minute. Let me check the name of the show. And I looked at it and said, how powerful are you? I'm sitting there going, that will work very fine. They kind of cross paths anyway. Becoming a super being is actually taking back your power and then walking the path that you were meant to take in the first place. So there goes back to what I was saying, how powerful are you? Because a lot of people realize that they don't. And this book is great, too. I love this book because it talks about and focuses on people have a tendency to think, which is a contradiction, that God is all-powerful, nothing can touch him, but they think these issues and situations and problems that they get themselves into are more powerful than they are, when actually they're also created in the image of God and actually are a part or an extension of God, so therefore they have a tendency to make themselves weak because they don't want to, which is kind of funny in some ways, make yourself more weak because you're scared of being more powerful than God. Have you ever noticed that with some of the people that are just scared to take back that power and realize what they've relinquished, Barbara?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are afraid of that, who've been taught that they can't have that or that it's wrong to see themselves as powerful.
Yeah, because I was sitting there saying, what I mean by how powerful are you, it's the idea of realizing, so we had this on the show with some Atlanteans, and I was sitting there going, it's kind of funny how I try to formulate it, I'm not going back to mean that, but the idea of realizing what we was, that we are trying to become ourselves again, and to become those powerful beings that we was in Atlantis. So it's not the idea of going back to something that doesn't exist anymore, as in the sense of yesterday's gone. I was trying to put in a formulation of going, okay, I feel like we're going towards something of self-realization that's going to be more powerful than you think. A lot of people are going to be thinking differently than they do now because the biggest thing I find with a lot of people when you introduce that information to them,
that you can sit there and say what you want to them until they actually decide to use the information and look within to find out what's really there. And we can spin our wheels as much as we want. And I know a lot of people are sitting there going, well, how can we help people do that? Well, the best thing to do is just sit there and do like we do. Just put the information out there. It might not change people today or tomorrow or whenever, but these eureka moments happen all the time. And we know that for a fact because they're constantly happening in our lives every day. So you're probably sitting there saying, okay, you guys are talking about this kind of thing, and we maybe thought you guys might be already there because the way you teach and the way you are and the way you're compassionate and kind. That's true, too. I'm not saying you're not to be egotistic or nothing. Yes, we agree with you that we are those. But at the same time, spirituality is a constant evolving, and you're constantly learning. And when you come to that point where you've basically learned all the things you can in this lifetime, you won't be here. You'll be moving on. So we're still here learning some things, and I know for a fact, and you probably can agree with this too, Barbara, that when you work with clients, you learn from them as much as they learn from you.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Even if it's just the idea of learning how to dress properly, you know, missing match. I'm just saying, anything, those people, I mean, it might sound crazy, it might sound funny, and in a sense I was trying to be funny for a second, but what I'm saying is, it's the ideal, everybody crosses your path for a reason. And when you stop and really take that in, like people always say, stop and smell the roses, that's just the ideal. And the process of smelling a rose, you just don't take in the scent. You also have a tendency to stop for a second. You also take in the color, the scent, and even when that sucker pricks your finger, a little bit of pain goes with it. But see, you've noticed all those things, and that's what we're trying to do with life itself, of trying to help you to understand and to notice everything that crosses your path. Even that cat that jumped in your front yard and took a crap on your sidewalk. There's something about that whole thing. I mean, I sound crazy, but in certain senses, when someone runs outside and starts screaming at that cat, and I think at that moment, I got it. She didn't get it, but I got it. So I'm sitting there going, we need to work on patience. The animal, because she's screaming at this animal like it's a revengeful thing, like there's some kind of conspiracy mafia cat, a cat mafia out there going, let's go crap in her yard, you know. But it was one of those things of teaching her how to have patience and to coexist with something as simple as a cat. Because I looked at her life later on, she has a tough time coexisting with everybody. So it's not just not the cat. The cat was just a simple reminder. Because, you know, in this situation, a cat is just going to sit there and look at you. But if you do the same thing with a human being, they have a tendency to respond in a bad way. So, you know, you never know how that's going to work out. But the cat usually just, if they don't like it, the cat just runs off. Human beings have a tendency to yell back. So it's the ideal,
that's,
you know.
True.
Patience, patience, patience. So the angels or her guides brought the cat to her attention because it was something simple. That she, you know, I could be simply saying, you love cats. Why are you yelling at this person? And then it traces right back to her family, realizing she loves her family too. So steps, you know, baby steps, I guess you'd say. But it was still pointing out, and it was still a eureka moment. Now, it didn't kick on her at that moment, and I think it still hasn't kicked on her yet. But, you know, I saw it. So I feel like at the same moment, I can't sit there and say the same thing. I have to sit there and also look at it for what I saw too, because I saw the whole thing unfold. So it all happened in front of me too as well. So it was a learning experience. It's like we were talking about before, Barbara, that when we do readings on the show here, that we also it touches everybody who's listening, one way or the other, because we're all sitting here listening for a reason. And then this person comes on with a situation, an issue, or a problem, and it seems like to radiate. Because I've had people call me and say, "Are you sure you was doing a reading for me?" And wasn't doing a reading for that lady. I said, "No, I was doing a reading for that lady." That's right. That's the reason a lot of us like using this kind of format, because we just don't touch one person. And that's the whole point. You know, we're trying to set a chain reaction here that everybody will start thinking about things, focus, and take some time and start seeing the big picture, you know. What's the big picture is just the idea of realizing the missing pieces in yourself more than likely are you getting to know yourself.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I actually had a poem. I'm not a poem, but I actually had this piece I wrote where it was talking about that. And in the process of looking for the pieces in my life, those missing pieces turned out to be me. So I was like, and Shannon drove me nuts because I read it to her, and she was like, "Wow, who wrote that?" Well, thank you very much. I feel very good right now. You know, I feel about 2 inches tall. I was like, well, hey, silly, I wrote that. And she's like, oh, I told you this before when she was sitting there going, some people have a tendency to formulate their sentences the way you're not really sure how to take them. And she said, I never realized how intelligent she was. I said, okay, I don't know how to take that.
Was it an insult or a compliment?
really, we're talking about you, how powerful you are. So it's one of those things, I say join us in the show, but I'm also saying join us in the realization of what that's all about. We were talking about this too when we were talking about the Atlanteans taking mass consciousness, but also being very positive about that mass consciousness and combining it with crystals to create a power source that was so powerful it was actually aware of itself. And as long as everybody in the mass consciousness of Atlantis, the masses, as long as they were thinking positive, it worked for them. But as soon as they started thinking any kind of negative way, the energy source would actually work against them. So everybody was like, well, that sounds crazy. I know, but in a sense, it's talking about, it's almost like the same thing here, but on a larger scale of manifestation. As long as you're focusing, not just, you know, the ideal, not the thoughts themselves, but actually the emotions that go with that. I love what I'm doing. I love, you know, it's like looking at relationships. I love thinking about you. I love you. But boy, when you start talking about I hate you and I hate thinking about you, the whole freaking format changes. So, you know, it's like, woo. So it's just like showing you how fast things can change just by changing your thinking. Because usually when you change your thinking, there's a lot of emotion to go with it. You've heard people say this. God, I can't afford that. And they're mad about that and not realize how much energy they just put into the whole thing. And you're like, all we're asking you to do is take the same thought, but take the T off and say, wow, I can afford that. No problem, man. I'll pick it up Thursday. Don't be surprised what happens Thursday. But I'm serious, that's how simple and fast it can happen. It's like we're sitting here trying to set examples of how powerful are you. We can sit here and tell you till doomsday how powerful you are until you realize it, until you experience one thing that you try to manifest and do it that one time. I guarantee you'll be thinking like a lot of us. But there are ups and downs. Right, Barbara? We have our days.
Yeah. We're all learning. It's all part of the process. And the more we learn, the more we realize that we really do have the power.
I have the power. Oh, T-Man. I love that show. I'd love to have a sword like that, too. That might sound crazy. I don't think about going. I don't know what it is about those days. They stick with you really strong. We must have some really good times back in those days. Swords and, you know, like Conan. I've always had a fascination with Conan, just because the ideal, he was always in situations where everybody thought he was this mean guy, or how would we put it? He was always charging through everything. He always had a look on his face. And I heard somebody say this the other day, which I thought was kind of weird. A man who has no fear is a dangerous man. And I'm sitting there going, what's that mean? He's a danger to himself and everyone around him. I'm like, so what's that mean? Well, if he has no fear, then he'll just do anything. I said, yeah, exactly. So what's holding you back? You know? If a man without fear is going to be a man who acquires the world, because he's not going to be scared of anything. And anytime he puts himself into a situation, he also realizes why he's there. It's because he decided to make a choice to be there. I was going to read this one thing in here that talks about making a list. And the one part where it talks about, on the list, it says, think about what you want. Put in writing what you really want. Get this book. Got a little section here, too, where you can write it down. And there's actually a little section in the back, too, for personal notes. Take your little section in the back. Write you some stuff down. But the one I like about the book, what it said here, it said, there's this one part in here where it says, take several pages to provide in this chapter a list. But it's like, they point out four major parts of your life. Your relationships, your career, your spiritual state, and your physical. They're talking about your body, health, talking about your emotions, which is spiritual more or less. And they're talking about, I lost my track here. They're talking about career. A lot of people leave this one off there. They always put down relationships, career, and physical body. But they forget the spiritual self. And everybody's striving for to be more spiritual and to work on that, but for some reason they always leave it off their list. I guess they think that as they acquire these things, that's going to happen too. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying, and here they talk about putting all four together. And then they say at the top of the page, write this down. He put down, I have the power within me to realize the fulfillment of each one of these desires. Through the love, wisdom, and power of my supermind, I have the ability to bring about any necessary change in my body or affairs. I believe my wonderful inner self. It says, memorize this statement. Contemplate it as you prepare to write your list. So as above, so below. So what you're trying to do is create, I guess it says in the book, you're not trying to really create anything. Well, what you're doing with the affirmations and the work that you're doing with these statements and these, what do you call these things? I had that word in my mouth too. These treatments, he calls them treatments. As you complete these treatments, what you're actually doing is that, as anything else, you're trying to cure the mind and your subconscious mind, and you're replacing negative thoughts with positive ones to realize the potential that you have, instead of always focusing on the potential that you might not have. You know, the what-if syndrome?
Mm-hmm.
You will. And then he says, as you're writing your list, just put down this one statement, saying, I have the power within me to realize the fulfillment of each one of these desires. See, it's what it says, it's reminding you, I am powerful within me, which is in yourself. And we had this meditation today, too, where it's actually, it goes over to the book real quickly, of a brief outline that I worked from, to use it, to sit there and tell people to focus and concentrate. I dropped the book. It's a new book, guys, trust me here. So the book's going to flip across the room. It's pretty stiff. I lost my place. I don't like that. Anyway, back to the list. Oh, there we go. Anyway, there's a part in here of helping you understand that we keep thinking of things in duality. So in the treatment they have in here, where you basically meditate, you sit on a couch, close your eyes, and then you and focus. Point your head down, as you like in prayer. But as you're pointing your head down, focus on that spot behind your heart. There's a space behind your heart. And if you focus on that, use your imagination and see that you see a pilot light, a blue pilot light. And look at this as the God essence within you. As you're focusing on this spot, say to yourself, I love, I love, I love. What most people hear is they hear two voices saying I love, which is the physical and the spiritual. Okay? What you're trying to do, you say I love until you can hear that there's only one voice saying I love. Because somewhere along the line we have detached ourselves from our higher self and also from God and the source, of telling ourselves that we cannot do these things. And as you're doing this meditation, what you're doing is you're reestablishing that connection. You can also use this pilot light and tell yourself to expand that pilot light until it engulfs your whole body. I have actually done this, and when you do that, what you see is almost like an x-ray or illumination. It illuminates your chakras, and it also illuminates your aura. And it also shows you that we have a tendency to absorb, and you'll see dark masses a lot of times in your aura, and you also see darkness within your chakras from where you've absorbed things. Or some people have a tendency not to speak their mind, so their throat chakra will be a little dark because they're suppressing what they feel, they're suppressing what they should be saying, and it just illuminates all these things for you. Because a lot of people are trying to say, okay, how can I see these things? This is a perfect way to do this. And if you practice this meditation just like that and focus on the I love part, what I've actually done is kind of a an overwhelming feeling as I was sitting there focusing on that essence behind my heart, of focusing and saying that over and over again. And you can definitely feel the vibration, and you can definitely feel the energy. And it's very positive. And it's very, and like I said, it can be overwhelming because it just, because your vibration is being right, your vibration frequency is rising at that moment. And you just keep doing it and keep doing it. And a lot of times I've actually had to stop because it was like, whoa, because it's something that it's familiar, but at the same time, it's what we talk about, looking at oneself. And sometimes it gets a little uncomfortable. And a lot of people thinking, okay, uncomfortable, painful feelings. No, sometimes the idea of experiencing something for the very first time, as I call it, extreme happiness, can be a little scary in itself too. So therefore, you take it step, you know, take it in steps, baby steps, and check that one out. But it's a really awesome book because I mean, we could do like three shows on this freaking book. We could do like three shows. I've done when we were sitting there talking about the angels. That's his book of going over each one of those steps. I was looking at each one of the 22 angels as going up the stairway of 22 steps to acquire and to change things in your life, to actually being in a state. Because he talks about in this book, one thing that he talks about in the book, that the hardest thing for people to do is to realize that in certain ways that you can look at, love it. Affirmations and things like that, and treatments and that kind of thing. In some sense, it says when you really get to be a real, real strong super being, you don't do those things. You just ask for things. You feel it. You picture it in your mind. You feel it. Like he said, what would it feel like if what you're focusing on happened right now? And then feel that. Then let it go. And then tell yourself, I don't care if I get it or not. And just walk off and go into your life. He said that's the hardest thing for people to do is to let go and go with the flow to the point of letting life unfold just the way it's going to unfold anyway. Because the treatments are basically to help people let down the resistance so they can actually work their way to that state of consciousness where they're just going to go, yeah, there's a route. I don't need it. Just walk on down through there. And people out there going, what do you mean, don't care if you get it or not? The point is, what he said to himself was, I already know that it's coming to me. It's done deal. It's a done deal. So he don't care. He goes on and he lives his life. Does that make sense to you, Barbara?
Well, yeah. It's not that he's saying he doesn't care whether or not he gets it. He's just saying that he already knows he's going to get it, so he doesn't need to be attached to it. He doesn't need to worry about it. He doesn't need to come back and check on it.
Exactly.
Wondering. He doesn't need any of that stuff.
Like, have you ever ordered something from Sears or Kmart or from a catalog? Did you have to order it three times before you got it? No. No. And if anybody out there calls me and says they did, I don't want to hear it. I think you should think about it in the sense of, if you had that kind of problem, that you had to order something from a Sears catalog three times before you got it, I guarantee if you trace it back, you'll trace it back to how you were thinking at that time. Because I've had this happen with my mom, where she was like, I've heard people say this. You've probably heard this too, Barbara, where people are going, well, I'll probably get a speeding ticket before I get home. They get in their car, mm-hmm. go down the road, get a speeding ticket. And they're going, how in the hell did that happen? And the rest of us are sitting going, makes sense to us. You affirmed it. You wanted it. And they're like, well, that's not what I wanted. Yes, but that's where you put all your energy. And that's what you're passionate about. Something that you didn't want. And the universe said, your wish is our command. Poof. There's Mr. Officer with his little book. You got a ticket. And I tell you, and I'll sit there and tell you that the reason I say that is because I've experienced the opposite. I drove around for 3 years with no driver's license. Did I sit there and tell myself, oh shit, I have no driver's license. I'm going to get pulled over every time I turn around. No, I just told myself, I'm going to drive my car and go from point A to point B and have a great time. And I never got pulled over one time. We actually told a story like this on the show. I was there telling everybody, I actually went to Florida, walked into the motor vehicles, and I was under the assumption my license was just expired, walked in, got my driver's license, walked out, and then found out 2 years later when I came back to Ohio that my license had been revoked for almost 6 years. And you're asking yourself, well, it must have been a glitch in the computer. maybe it was a glitch in the computer. But the one thing was, I walked into that place saying, I'm walking out with my driver's license, and I did. So we can sit there and go over it 50,000 damn times why it happened. But the point is, it did. So next time someone says you can't do that, you have a story to tell them and say, well, I know this one guy who did that. And here's what we're saying to you guys out there across the land. How powerful are you? That's the point of the show. How powerful are you? Right there, just that one story should tell you one thing. You can override anything. I'm tired of hearing people sitting there saying, well, you know, police and the government and blah, 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 blah. Those are all worldly things, guys. I guarantee you, divine intervention overrides those things all the time. And if you sit there and realize that you are connected to spirit or source and God and realize the one thing here, I guarantee you, to be put in those positions that we were talking about before, you're here to learn how to love unconditionally, not just people, but yourself. And the idea of realizing how powerful you are is also loving yourself to the point where you don't sit there and, because people feel guilty and all these bad emotions toward themselves when they don't get what they want. If they loved themselves unconditionally and loved everybody else unconditionally, they might not have those issues anymore. I would say they won't. But even if they do have things that don't happen, they love themselves unconditionally to sit back and look at themselves and go, okay, what happened? To trace it back to source and say, okay, I didn't affirm it, or to reevaluate the whole thing and realize it just wasn't a part of my life. It wasn't a part of the big old plan. So therefore, if that's the case, and the thing I've actually been focusing on, I haven't obtained yet. So you keep going.
So you start looking at firings as nothing but directionals and say, okay, that wasn't working. So it's leading me to something better. So you see how powerful you are? If you just take those realizations and look at those things and go, okay, I can do anything I want. Yes, you can. So what are you going to do? You're going to sit here and put all your energy into being angry and wanting to whip someone's ass because they fired you? Or you want to walk up to them and say, thank you so much for getting me the heck out of this hellhole and sending me to where heaven's at? We can, for some reason, we have a tough time looking at these things as what they are. We're always looking for signs, and signs are happening 24/7. We just need to pay attention. That's what we always say, slow down and smell the roses. You're going to see the full picture, but you're also going to see all the signs out there. Hey, Barbara.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell everybody who you are, just in case people are just tuning in for the first time, and give them your information as well on how they can reach you, because I was actually looking over your website and stuff. Really cool stuff, and I think these people need to experience that as well and experience your readings, because I think they're awesome.
Okay.
You okay?
Yes, I am. I'm just switching gears. Okay.
No problem.
My website is divinelyguidedhealing.com, and my Blog Talk Radio show is blogtalkradio.com/Barbara11121, or you can just type Barbara Reynolds in the search and it'll bring it up. My show's on Fridays at 2 o'clock Central Time. And I answer people's questions with the answers that I'm guided to. So I call it an intuitive reading instead of a psychic reading. I'm not really sure why, but that's what I call it. Okay. So I work with people to help them to see what it is within them that they might want to change so that they can start creating what they want to in the outer world. Because everything starts within us. Nothing actually starts out there in the world. It all starts in us. So, you know, it's like Donnie was talking about the lady and the cat crapped on her sidewalk. And it was because inside of her, she apparently had some feeling of being like shit. Because the cat brought it to her.
Maybe she wouldn't crap on somebody.
When you recognize what is inside of you and you change that, then the new you is reflected in the world around you. So that's what I teach people, and that's what I do.
Wow. Guest, I just heard from our guest. Her name is Star, and it's actually, I think it's Sharon, but she said her pics have frozen, her mic is frozen, her cell phone is out as well. Very bizarre.
Now, this lady here was going to come on the show, and I hope she still makes it, because of where she lives at. She has actually encountered constant interaction with UFOs. And she said she actually had some things where she was talking about government and that kind of stuff, and she started getting bizarre things here and there. So I wanted her to come on and to basically give everybody the lowdown on her story. And now she's having a hard time getting to us, so we're hoping she makes it, but and I hope she does too. But we were doing our show in the day. I have a show here with Courtney Bibbs called The Missing Spiritual Link, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 11 Eastern. So write that down. I wish I had the number too, I tell you. But just find it. It's called The Missing Spiritual. It's called The Missing Spiritual Link with Courtney and, well, actually it says Donnie and Courtney. We're having our own, I don't know what you call it, Regis and Kelly, you know. But this lady came on and told us this story about having constant UFO activity around her and stuff like that. And actually with that show, we've had a lot of problems with the technology or the switchboards and all kinds of stuff getting knocked off. I got knocked off Wednesday, and it took me almost 20 minutes to get back on, to the point where they were even telling me that my username, The Missing Spiritual Link, didn't exist. So I was like, this is kind of crazy. But I don't know what was going on. But it was kind of interesting, so I thought I'd have her on the show tonight, because she seems like she's a very spiritual woman, too, as well. I thought she would add to the conversation, but I guess we'll have to sit here and wait till she comes on another time to actually do that. And maybe she'll still make it with us. By the way, too, I've actually had two or three readings with you in particular, and I thought it was awesome. It really brought some things out that I had thought about, but, you know, sometimes it's good to have somebody who can also work with you to bring those things out even more so we can work with them.
Well, thank you.
Oh, no problem. But with the situations, what it said in the book here, it tells you to write this statement at the top of each page and keep saying it to yourself. I have the power within me to realize the fulfillment of each one of these desires. So see, as you're writing your desires down, and have a little space here in the book, as you're writing them down, or get a notebook. I always say start a journal. You know, start you a super being's journal, and, you know, start working and focusing and working on those things. I mean, a lot of people do the same thing when they work out, and they have a bodybuilding journal, and keeping track of all their movements and how they advance and how they progress and their little goals and stuff like that. But if you're writing down your desires and you're constantly saying this to yourself in your head, I have the power within me to realize the fulfillment of my desires through the love, wisdom, and power of my supermind. I have the ability to bring about any necessary change in my body or affairs. I believe in my wonderful inner self. So it's always talking about believing in your wonderful inner self. So we just keep going over and over and over. And then there's a couple of spots in here where they kind of go over that. You know, the secrets of successful living is just the ideal. They have an outline here, which I thought was kind of cool because it gives you an ideal what to start with. I said, what do you desire in life? You must focus your thoughts on what you really want, which we always say all the time, focus. I always ask everybody this all the time, what do you want? And what do you want? It's a scary thing. And the reason I say that is because I've asked the question to myself, and actually the first time I really asked myself that question was a stumper. What do you want? Well, right now I just want some Jolly Ranchers, you know, something simple like that. And then kind of, I'm serious, and kind of move up. Because I'm serious. Why is it? When I'm sitting there talking to somebody, I've seen this in a lot of things when I do relationship counseling. You have a lady sitting down there, and she's sitting there, and you ask her a question. This lady has such a commitment phobia that she couldn't even commit to answering the question right. She was still trying to tell me what I wanted to hear. And a lot of people tell you what you want to hear because they're not trying to deceive you. They don't want to hurt your feelings. So see, at that moment, when they do that, they're giving up their power. They're not saying what they really want to do, and they're not really telling you how they really feel. They're telling you what they think you want, so you won't overreact and take it out on them. So there's a fear there. So they stop off. And then the next one is, what do you really want? And it says you must make a definite decision to accept the fulfillment of your desires. Some people look at them and go, well, heck yeah. I have all intentions of, you know, making a definite decision to accept, you know, to accept my full, the fulfillment of my desires. Really, I want you guys to ask yourself that question very clearly, because I guarantee you're gonna come up with a different answer. Maybe inside. Maybe we'll talk about it on the outside first. But some people say that, and there was a story where a guy said the exact same thing. I am ready. I have made a definite decision to accept the fulfillment of my desires. And an opportunity came to him for him to have everything he wanted, except for one thing he had to do. He had to move clear across country to do it. And he said, I don't feel like uprooting my family and taking him clear across country. Now, he's going to sit there and say, why could it happen here? But the point is, it happened. Okay? And he did not definitely make a decision to accept that proposal. Because if he would have pulled up roots and gone to California and did exactly what he said he wanted to do, he would have had all of his desires, all of his answers, everything that he was focusing on at that moment as a fulfillment of his desires would have happened. And he made an excuse that he didn't want to uproot his kids. Does this sound familiar to some of you guys out there who are saying, well, my kids, at that moment, your kids just became your parents. Because you let that kid make the decision of what that family was going to do when that's your job. You do not take your job as a parent and put it on a kid and say, well, the kid, he's going to get his feelings hurt. Or he doesn't want to leave all his friends. When you know for a fact, my friend, that when you, through your life, you have done what? We have, and kids will do that. Kids will jump on that one every time. Won't they, Barbara? When you sit there going, I don't want to give it my friends. And if you fall into
that. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, if you fall into that and say, okay, you're just making an excuse to yourself because you don't want to walk out to that, into that unknown world. When you know you need to make a decision to go somewhere. Does that make sense to you, Barbara?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what we do. We ask for something and it comes to us, but it doesn't come the way that we expected or the way we decided it was supposed to come. And so mm-hmm. we say no because it isn't what we expected mm-hmm. without realizing that when we ask for something, we are putting it into the hands of God, and God is going to bring it to us in whatever way is actually best for us. He's yeah. not going to do it the way we expect. He's going to do it in the way that is best. And when we can accept that and just go along with what is brought to us, then our lives mm-hmm. flow. Otherwise, yeah. we're stopping the flow.
And exactly. And the number three on this list is outline that he has to, you know, as you're accomplishing this, of getting, you know, becoming, as they call it, you know, expanding your consciousness, okay? The one that Barbara talked about. You cannot. Your desires cannot be fulfilled in the outer world of experience and form unless you have the consciousness or the mental equivalent for them. Because everybody go, ooh. Okay. I kind of wish this was like the show I have on 1,000 mics where you just push a button, applause. Or maybe get an ooh, okay. But it's just, seriously, you know, I like when we pick up material. And the one thing I have found out, the reason I suggest a lot of books to everybody, Barbara, is because I've actually started reading these books and started realizing that a lot of this stuff was just a realization of I am going in the right direction and just to embrace it more because I wasn't too sure. And I read this book, and I thought this was a really cool subject to bring up because when I was living in a place called Winchester, Ohio, I was living with a girlfriend, and I was trying to bring in more income. I was working for a psychic company called Angel, what was it called? The Circle of Stars. I actually call them Bullshitters or Us, but you know, that's just me. But that's what it felt like I was anyway. Keep them on the line. Keep them on the line as long as you can. Reel them in. I kept hearing that fishing pole effect. But as I was working with this company, what I did was I took advantage of the situation and said, okay, I know there's a lot of bad psychics on this line. And that's because I've actually talked to them. I will say that right off the bat. The reason I can make that statement because I've actually talked to them, and those are the ones I'm talking about. So I said, this opportunity has been brought to my attention, so therefore I can bring in income. Now, I didn't make an excuse and say, well, you know, this one, ugh. these people are just like, whoa. No, I didn't do that. Even after talking to a couple of psychics that were actually still reading out the book. You are a Taurus. Hold on, I lost my page. Hold up. I was sitting there going, are you serious? I said, instead of looking at it as a bad thing, I said, just look at the situation of equivalence, okay? Just put some real psychics on here because I felt like this is what I was supposed to do. So therefore, I started working for this psychic line. But I wasn't making a lot of money. So I was like, okay, why am I not making a lot of money? I read this book and started following this book to the letter, okay? But also, at the same time, like I said before, it just brought, what it did was it made me realize how powerful I was. And when I looked at, I'll look at these in a minute too, these different levels of becoming a super being, or different levels of a super being. I was looking at these things, I guess it was one of those things of trying to find out what level I was on. And then it helped me to take a look at myself. So I started focusing and said, okay, what do you want? I would like to make, and what the biggest part was looking at the situation of asking yourself, okay, to make, how much money do you want to make a week? It wasn't the idea of dwelling on how much I want to make a week. It was the idea of saying, oh, there's a start. Here you go. This is how much you want to make. This is how much you want to earn. This is the whole thing with this, just with this particular company. But they also taught me how to, by working for the psychic line, it was the idea of giving me confidence to go also to work and call and do my own phone stuff, which is what I'm doing now. So it was like a bounce. It was like a spring to one to the other. So, but I didn't sit there and look at it as something, okay, we can't do that. I looked at it as an opportunity, and I made it an opportunity. But it was crossing my path for a reason. And I guarantee, I swear to you, in 4 days, I went from making like $62 a week to making over $300 or $400 a week. And it just kind of getting bigger and bigger every week. And what I would do was, I knew that I had a hard time with accepting certain things and what I felt like I deserved. So I would do it in small steps. So 1 week I would declare I want to do 1,000 minutes and make this, you know, because I knew if I did 1,000 minutes, I would hit my goal of how much I want to make financially. And then the next week I would up it up again and slowly up it up until I was making, I was getting like 24 to almost 3,000 minutes a week. And then I had to change my thinking on weekly too. I thought, you know, I'd worked for a company before where I'd actually gotten those kind of works before, you know, I got that kind of money every 2 weeks or like, and some of them were like every month. So I had to change my thinking on that too and say, no, I can do it weekly. And just affirm it and bounced on. It was just so much. Next thing I know, I had a brand new bedroom suit, a brand new plasma television. We had cable. And all the things that I was focusing on before that I didn't have, I stopped focusing on those and started focusing on how much I wanted to expand my career, what I wanted to do with it. And then after I made my mind of what I was going to do with it, and then I followed through with the action and started doing it. And then when the opportunities came to me, I just followed them instinctively. And it was so funny that when I started doing that, I was like, this book is wild. But at the same time, my angels were kicking in too, saying, well, the book is great, but it's a manual. You're doing the work, so therefore have faith in yourself as well. So let me take a breath on that one. Okay, the fourth step, it says here, is the first step in building the mental equivalence is to recognize that divine ideal corresponding to your desire already exists in your super consciousness. This is the intellectual awareness. Okay, number five is, but an intellectual awareness does not have sufficient power to shape the outer picture. Your feeling nature must also be brought into play. Now, what that means is basically, is that when you're focusing on it, you know, some people get uptight and focus, and I mean, they just like, oh, they start getting ulcers because they're, you know, you've seen people in the corporate world, right, Barbara? They're making tons of money, they're doing really good, but they got ulcers. That's what they're saying. That's not a natural thing. You're not naturally letting it happen. You need to sit there and affirm it, focus on the outcome, and don't care about the middle part. Because what you're going to be doing is looking for the opportunities to cross your path. And as soon as those opportunities cross your path, naturally go with the flow of where it takes you. Let's see here. Because it's like talking about your feeling nature must be also be brought into play. So you got to bring them together. That's what we're talking about, duality. When you don't feel nature and you feel naturally, that's your human body going, whoa, but the spiritual self is, you know, kind of like the spiritual self knows. So you're trying to get, as we were doing that meditation earlier, it's bringing those two together as one to realize how powerful you are. This is your body. You didn't borrow it. So therefore, use it. But also at the same time, use it as a temple. So, you know, the car. Well, I've seen people do this with their cars, too. They force them. I'm almost out of gas. Wake a maggot. That's forcing the issue, manipulating the car to go where somewhere where it shouldn't be at, and then put it, instead of pulling over to the side when you should have, or an oil leak or something like that. Let's see here. Let's see, when the two are combined, a powerful reaction takes place in the subjective phrase of mind, setting up a vibration that corresponds to the spiritual equivalent of fulfillment in your subconscious mind. In your subconsciousness. If you want to go that route, subconscious mind, subconsciousness. What it's saying is the ideal. You got that vibration in your mind. And we've already proven this, and scientists have proven this. If you are sitting there in your mind and you're focusing on, and you keep telling yourself, I'm abundant, I'm a money magnet, and you actually see money coming to you like a magnet, and you feel that money sticking all over you, the mind does not, the mind and the subconscious, and the, you know, doesn't, they can't distinguish if you're actually doing it or not doing it. But what it does when those two, the emotional and the physical, are brought together, it has nothing, but it has to bring to you what you were focusing on at that time, because you gave it a really good blueprint to work with. Because, let's see, you're setting up a vibration, which is actually on the same vibration of what you're trying to manifest, which you are like a magnet, and you're bringing it to you at that moment. So the quicker you're ready to let down that resistance, let that thing come to you, because a lot of people, even when they're on the same frequency, so there are some kind of reservations there, so they kind of hold it back a little bit. It's still coming to you, so you keep what you need to do. That's what affirmations are good for. I'm on the vibration. I can feel it happening, and the affirmations are to keep you there, keep you on that same vibration, to help you let down the resistance so it can come to you. And I always say that the more comfortable you get with the affirmations, the quicker it comes to you anyway. Or maybe how powerful that affirmation. I've actually done it's one of those things, Barbara, when you get to a certain level, I've done this before where I said, I'd love for somebody to come by and pick me up right now and take me home. And I was so happy to even think about it. I think just by saying it just one time, because I know for a fact it happened in 5 minutes, where some of my friends pull up and say, hey, you need a ride? And we're going. But the key was detachment, too. See, I said it. I love to have somebody come in. And then I just went, let that thought go. Let that manifestation go out into the world so I can actually get an answer and get it back as quick as possible. You cannot get an answer to a letter unless you're willing to mail it.
That's true.
It says, this fusion of mind and heart along the lines of particular desire fulfillment, if protected from thoughts to the contrary, will develop into a conviction. The conviction of mental equivalence becomes the pattern through which the creative energy of mind flows or radiates. As this energy, light, power, substance passes through the pattern, it takes on all attributes of the pattern and goes forth into the outer world to manifest corresponding circumstances. I think I said that right. Corresponding circumstances, experiences, and form. So, do not outline the way your desires is to be fulfilled. That's what I'm saying. You affirm it, and then focus on the outcome. And actually, you should only do this like in the mornings for like 10 or 15 minutes, and then go live your life. Like it's already happened. And as you're living your life, basically what you're saying to the universe is, oh, look at this person. He's waiting for it to happen. So, well, hey, maybe we should give it to him earlier. Because you've let down all that resistance, so they can do that. There's nothing blocking it. Because it says right here, do not outline the way that your desires is to be fulfilled. Do not be concerned with how your good is to come forth. You must trust the wisdom and integrity of God, of the power, which is God. You develop your subjective convictions through dedicated programs of contemplation, contemplation, meditations, affirmations, and the proper use of your power of imagination. So if you catch yourself saying something bad, you can actually use your imagination to come up with a more constructive way of saying what you just said, but more in a positive way. Your imagination is the foundation for manifestation. Be filled with a sense of thankfulness and gratitude that your desires are already fulfilled, they are in mind, and that they will come forth into visibility at the right time and in the right way. It's like we were talking about before, it's like hitchhiking. You're out there trying to get a ride. And manifestation works exactly the same way, because they're trying to bring it to you at the right time and the right way. So I'm asking for a ride to Chicago. If there's a person out there who's going to come to me and pick me up and take me right to Chicago, would you like to have that car instead of four cars to get there? So what they're trying to do is line up what's best for you to get you where you're trying to go, to keep you going down that path, to keep going forward. I'd really have one car. So if I have to wait 2 hours for that one car, I'll do it. But I've also been in situations, too, where it started raining. Instead of freaking out and going, oh, my God, I'm going to get soaked, you just affirmed you're going to get soaked. I sit there and said, okay, God, you've never left me out in the rain before, so therefore it would be great to have a ride right now so I can get out of this rain. The last time I got wet like that was because my own stupid egotisticness of sitting there going, I was screaming and focusing, going, okay, God, I don't see no ride. Where the hell's my freaking ride? You said you're going to give me a ride and get me out of the rain. I was starting to rain really hard. See, the problem was my anger was a problem at that time, so it got out of control. And that emotion was dictating my actions at the time, because when I turned around, that car had been sitting there for about 10 minutes. So if I would have sitting there, been patient and also been observant of the whole picture, I would have saw that I had a ride. First of all, I wouldn't have got mad. In the midst of me getting angry, I got soaked. So see, if I would have listened and focused and just, oh, calm down, I would have seen the manifestation happening. But, you know, sometimes it's like to be that person who's like a paramedic or something, and to be non-emotional, or be still, as they call it. Be still, and directions will always happen. Go inwards. You'll always find the answers.
That's true. Don't you have a caller on the line?
Yes, I do, Barbara, but they know how it works. I get very windy, so therefore they're all waiting going, I hope you get that windy with me. But I just want to finish this outline. It's real quick. See here, you develop your subjective convictions through a dedication of programs like affirmations, meditations. That's what you're doing. You're affirming that you are a spiritual being. So by becoming yourself, then you start understanding how it works, then you realize how powerful you are, and you realize that you're the ones making these things happen, or as we call it, you are the vehicle of the manifestation that you're trying to bring into the world. Like I said, be filled with a sense of thankfulness and gratitude. I always tell people in the mornings, do your affirming for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then go out into the world and be thankful for everything you see. Everything. Even if you fall down a flight of stairs, be thankful for you fell down a flight of stairs. Because I actually fell down a flight of stairs and found a dollar bill. Now, you might think that's a hard way to find a dollar bill, but see what? The angels have a tendency to point out things that no matter what happens in your life, there's always something positive that can come out of it if you just look. Okay? And when the big things happen, like a friend of mine, certain people committed suicide or certain deaths that happen, you think they're just so senseless. If you really look at those situations, they all happen for a reason. And even some of the books I've read talks about the idea of suicide is looking back on oneself. Because when you're done with this world, you leave. And you pretty much have already dictated how that's going to happen. If ever. I don't think I did. For some reason, I just don't think I did. That might sound crazy. Maybe it's one of those things to affirm to the world that you can live forever in this body. And then I'll get tired of that whole thing and I'll go, okay, guys, let's go. It's time to leave now. But number 10 is be active. If you sit around and wait for your good to fall in your lap may be far removed from the point of contact and channel that the power has selected specifically for the outpouring of your good. Now, I will say one thing, that I have had things fall in my lap. I'll say it right off the bat. But see, the point was, I was also sitting in my shop. When I was in Colorado, I was sitting in my shop. I used to have all kinds of good fortune come to me. But see, I was also in the right place at the right time. I wasn't sitting at my house. And I do know for a fact that when I was sitting in my house, I tried to do readings from my house, never really got a lot of readings. And when I did get readings, it came far and few between. And I had another friend of mine work for her shop. But it was the idea of looking at those situations. But those situations were also things for me to hide. I was hiding from what I was actually seeing. And I don't, you know, I would sit there and say that in certain sense of the word, my first shop, I had a partner. So I think I was kind of used to that partnership thing. So when it was time for me to take the take and go get my own shop, I was still thinking about working with people and all kinds of stuff. So it was a hard step for me to take. But I did it. And as soon as I made that step into what I was supposed to do, and seriously, Barbara, if you would have seen this blue door, you probably would have smacked me and asked me, how in the heck did you miss this for so long? Because it was like right there. I mean, it was right there. I mean, it was like right next to this very successful T-shirt shop. There was a bar across the street. There was a bar down the street. And all the things I was surrounded with was almost like that, almost like saying you're destined for success. Maybe, and then my friend said, maybe you were scared of success. Oh, no. But I think they had a point. I'm just saying, I take a drink, I'm sorry. I was going for my soap opera pause. Yes, take it all in, guys, you'll love it. So, but I'm just saying, with the situation, there is this thing called action. Now, but people do it all different ways. I mean, I know there's one lady who married her postman, so, you know, she said her guidance told her to sit and stay there to find the man she was going to be with, and she ended up marrying a postman. Now, these are, you know, that's her situation. So the idea of guidance is also pointing out to you, where are you supposed to be at when those things happen to you? You know, because I did the same thing. As soon as I put myself in that shop, I remember one weekend my landlord came up there and asked me for the rent. I'm sort of going, oh, shoot, I forgot about the rent. I was just so preoccupied with this, that, and the other, and working and spending money. I forgot to get the money for the rent, right? So it was a three-day weekend, thank God. And I looked at her and I said, I will have your money by Sunday. That's what I said. I'll have this money by Sunday. And by Sunday, I had $150 for her. I was just like, let's do it again. So, Barbara, I'm not trying to dominate the whole thing, but, I mean, shoot, the first time I wrote this freaking book, I thought it was fascinating, and people around me used to get tired of hearing about it. And I was sitting there going, well, fine, if you're tired of hearing about it, then go out and do something about it. I'm sick of hearing you guys. They're going, we're trying to hear about this thing. And I suggest, and I'm tired of hearing about you guys' financial situations, so you're not listening. And they're going, okay. They never saw that one coming. But the one thing I want to go over real quick, and then we'll take the caller. And the caller on the line, please forgive me, but I'm hoping you're taking this in because I feel like we're doing this for a reason and we're all crossing paths, and please take it down. And because it's talking about, there's a section here that is, see, we have the one part here where we're talking about laying out the list, do that affirmation they were talking about, but they're also talking about doing this thing here with the list. You know, I have the power within me to realize the fulfillment of each one of these desires. Through the love, wisdom, and power of my supermind, I have the ability to bring about any necessary change in my body and affairs. I believe my wonderful inner self. Say that real fast. I almost killed myself on that one. But but it also has a section here, too. It talks about, it says, I forgot to turn my phone off, guys. Forgive me for that one. But Michael Jackson's my buddy. I don't know who the hell that was, but he must have changed him. I don't know. anyway, there's a section here that talks about that. The super being's identity and unity unify with power within and actually become it an expression. So what they're doing is they're constantly, every person they cross paths with, they always try to help that person. they love that person unconditionally, because in the process of loving anybody unconditionally, you're saying, I love myself so much that you can be me too. We wouldn't be we're like reflection. We wouldn't be a really, really good reflection through people. So we see people in certain situations that we've gone through, we instinctively want to help them in a loving way. So it's unconditionally loving somebody, not passing judgment by saying, oh, you're in the gutter, dude. Just reach your hand out and say, you need some help. Oh, so you want a fifth? Okay, fine. People might think it's crazy, but the point is, every time you sit there and put yourself out to fulfill someone else's need, it's going to come back to you, and your needs are going to be fulfilled too. Okay, guys? For some reason, I'm waiting for a response. I keep forgetting. This is not a classroom. So there's this one in here that talks about unlimited. You can see, the one thing is to think about it. Think like a super being and say to yourself, I have unlimited prosperity, unlimited success, unlimited health, unlimited love, unlimited intelligence, unlimited power, unlimited everything. And they say, what you are, I am. So see, I guess you could sit and say, the idea of connect with your angels and God is to sit there and tell yourself the reason you want to connect with them is because you are them. And once you realize that whole ball of wax of how powerful you are, then you're all working together. And at that point, nothing's impossible. It really isn't. And then you go to the point of saying, okay, try this one. You're going to build a bridge between spiritual and the physical. Start with this. Say, there is a presence and a power within me now. It is all-knowing, all-caring, all-loving, all-powerful. It is the completeness of the universe individualized as me. It is who I am. It is what I am. It is God as me now. Now sit there and go into a, close your eyes for a moment. Relax completely and direct your attention to the point down behind your physical heart and contemplate the ideal. I love. I love. I love. I love. I love. And I guarantee you're going to feel, you're going to start feeling, as they call it in the book, you're going to feel natural. That's what you are. You're a naturally loving being. When you start vibrating like that, all the things that you would love to have, catch the word, guys, love to have, you're going to love it. And then say to yourself, I have made a firm and definite decision in my mind to be wonderfully successful. I now accept the truth that the spiritual ideal of true place success, the divine plan for me, is right where I am, in the mind of my inner self. That self knows itself to be a unique expression of God. It knows its true worth. That self is who and what I am. I unify with it. Therefore, I am success. I am prosperity. I know that as I recognize and accept the divine plan for my life, which is already the reality of me, it becomes active in my consciousness. I feel its power, its strength, its dynamic urge to manifest itself in my world as new opportunity, as the right job, the ideal career. There is now unity between the inner world of spirit and the outer world of form. I have embodied the idea of true place in this world. My true place in this world. I have claimed my good, and it is now interpreting itself as the perfect visible expression of contentment, satisfaction, and joy in the service of others. I am total success, and it is so. Don't tell me otherwise, man, because I'll tell you wrong. Now, what you need to do is focus on what you want to desire, and as soon as you focus on it and get a nice little mental picture in there, nice little television set, and play that movie and how you want to see things unfold, then you want to say to yourself, I now release my masterpiece to my higher self, knowing that he will make any necessary adjustments to improve the picture. In order that I may receive all the good that the universe has for me now, since I'm assured that my desires will be fulfilled according to the love and wisdom of my supermind, my heart overflows with love and gratitude. The feeling of thankfulness pulsates throughout my entire being. I am filled and thrilled with the joy of life, and it is so. Repeat it over and over again until it's so freaking familiar in your mind that you know for a fact that whatever you ask for, you're going to get really quick. Probably as soon as you think. And then there's a couple affirmations in it that are really good, and I'll end with this. My true self wants me to have a fulfillment of my desires, and nothing can stand in the way of his infinite power. The second one is, the law of the Spirit is manifesting my divine ideal here now, and my good is flowing to me in streams of plenty. I have incredible confidence in myself to keep the channel open for the manifestation of my desires. Money, here's my favorite, money comes easily and frequently, now and forever. Okay, Barbara.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Do you have anything, you want to add to that?
I think you've done a wonderful job and covered so much.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Okay.
What if I ever lied to you?
I haven't caught you yet. No. No. I'm just saying with the situation. I mean, sometimes I have been told, I think I've been told negative things for so long that when good things, people say positive things, I have a tough time believing them. So take that one to the bank. But I'm just saying, guys, check out this book. It's called The Super Beings. They are with us now, ready to show us the way to unlimited health, happiness, and success. And the reason I like this book so much is because when the guy was writing this book, he was actually learning it too as well. So he's also he gives you his own accounts of what he went through. He also gives you this thing about reincarnation with these dogs and cats in a couple of his books where there was a dog he had. It died. And he thought it was a cool thing because in reincarnation, animals also reincarnate too, especially animals that are attached to humans. But they live quicker and faster, so therefore you can actually see the manifestations happen of reincarnation. That he actually has, he's had the same dog probably at least from what I've read, three incarnations. And he said every time they get that dog, they're led to people to find pups with the same markings, the same personality. I mean, come on. But it's a whole lot more loving. So we're going to go to. Hold on for a second. I'm going to bring on one person here because I'm not sure. So I'm going to bring on Faith and let you read for her first, and I'm going to see who's on 276. Okay? Because it might be a guest. So I'm going to bring on Faith. Okay, Faith. Hello, Faith. How are you today?
Hi, thank you so much for the heart exercise. That's the best heart exercise I've ever learned.
Well, thank you. Like I said, I got that from John Ralph Price's book, but what I did was in his, and he just says, focus on the space behind the heart and say, I love. But the first time I sit there and focus and said, I've always believed from a lot of stuff that we've done and what I felt myself, that we had a flame. Little blue flame behind that heart of energy that was our God essence. And I felt like if you take the God essence and focus on that and say, I love, what you're basically saying is as you love the God essence within you, you're also saying, I love you. As I love you, I love me. If I love me, I love you.
Right. That's great.
So
thank you.
And the expansion thing, I did that before. I was trying to get more, and I tried to see my chakras and my aura more, and Dorian Virtue does this thing where she does the same thing with the blue flame, but she does it in chakra clearing, where she'll take the flame and bring it bigger. But when I did that, it was like it illuminated my chakras and my aura, so I could actually see them. So I thought, hey, let's pass it on to everybody, and write my own book. But no, I just wanted to bring it to everybody's attention. So try this, guys. I thought it was kind of a cool thing. I'm going to go check and see who's in the screening room. And then Faith, Barbara is with us. Say hello to Barbara, and she's gonna read for you until I get back. Is it okay?
That's fine.
Okay, I shall return.
Barbara,
hi.
You already know me. How are you doing? Linda's group?
I'm fine. Oh, okay.
I didn't know you were going to be on this call. Wow, what a surprise. Cool.
Yeah, I'm usually here every Thursday.
Oh, are you? Cool.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Huh. Okay. I was going to ask about a job, which I applied for today, and there's like two more they have to do. Like they're doing pre-screenings right now, so they said, you know, I should hear back by next week. And this is like where my heart is, and I feel really good, and I want this job, and I just want to know what feelings you're getting about.
Okay, let me check and see what they have to say. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're saying that this is not the job for you. There's a better one coming.
Oh. Well. Do they give you, like, a time frame or anything?
Oh, they never do that.
Okay.
So, my guides never mention time. They always just say, it's up to you and what it is you do to clear yourself out and to create, draw to you what it is you desire. So if you
okay.
spend your time, like, say every morning you do an affirmation about the perfect job and that this job is coming to you now, and you
uh-huh.
visualize the job, the place, the people, everything the way you imagine it's going to be, which doesn't mean it's going to be that way, but you're just,
right.
you know, creating,
right. uh-huh.
Then you can bring it to your customer. If you just
okay.
sit down and say, okay, I'm going to wait, well, then you're going to wait because that's what you said you were going to do. So it's a feeling.
Okay, so Barbara, what are you saying? So still, let's just say that they offered me the job and I took it. Would you say, with me knowing what you just told me, by me taking that, I'm just saying, well, no, nothing's better going to come? Is that kind of a doubt if I do that? Would you say?
Well, they're saying that something better is going to come. So
okay.
this job is not the only, is not your only option.
Okay.
Apparently there is something there that is going to be actually better than this one.
This one.
And
wow,
since you
cool.
think this one is wonderful, then
yeah.
this, the one that's coming must be, you know, astronomical. But, you know, you
oh,
can
cool.
serve astronomical. So
yeah.
there's nothing for you to worry about.
Okay. It's
that
just that I kind of need
kingdom.
Something. I need to take something now for money, you know. So that's why I was asking that. And I know it. You're going to say, well, that depends on you because, you know, you're not in my shoes, right? So,
well, you
yeah.
know that if you sit around thinking that, oh, my gosh, I need the money, I have to have a job,
okay,
then you're pushing
I got you. I see what you
So that's not where you want to go. You don't
okay,
want
I'm
that.
Not going
nope.
there. I never said that, Barbara.
So say what you love. Say, I love the fact that an even better job is coming my way. I
oh,
love
yeah.
that I know going to have this incredible job that I am going to love, and I'm going to make more than enough money to meet all of my needs. I love the fact that I'm always taken care of, and I never have to worry. Or saying things
yes.
like that. Because
oh,
that's
I have
really
been,
what you
yeah.
want.
I have been, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love you, and thank you so much, and bless you.
Well, you're welcome, dear.
And I will see you Tuesday.
Yes. Yes, we will. Okay, great. You want to just stay on the line?
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay, well, Mark, I don't even know who I'm talking to anymore. Donnie is still talking to the other caller. Let's see. Okay, so if anyone is interested in the book that Donnie was talking about, and I have been reading that particular
right.
book, along with, oh, you're back, okay.
Okay.
I was just telling where they can find the book, at Amazon.com. The author is John Randolph Price.
Okay,
so,
I'm sorry. I was talking to our other caller, and I'm sorry I missed Faith, but I'm sorry. I really wanted to talk to her, and I'm sure you guys worked things out pretty well for her, right?
I think so, and she was going to stay on the line, but it looks like she left after that.
Okay, well, Faith, if you can still hear us out there, please call back in. I'd love to work with you, or if you like, call us after the show. I always tell everybody we still got specials going on until February 14th, which is actually, if you call the show, you can get a reading for $10. A $10 session, and there's a $5 session, so call in. Get it done. And if you're out there, Faith, just call me after the show. I'm sure we can work out something. I just want to do a reading for you because I could have sworn it was going to be about relationships. Was it about relationships?
Actually, it was about job interview that she'd had.
Okay, the relationship between her and the guy she's going to have the interview with. There you go. All right, I'm going to bring our next guest on.
Okay.
I'm trying to control myself here because I just want to sit here and joke all the time and laugh and just have a great time, which is what we're supposed to do, right? So I'm heading in the right direction. I'm trying to be responsible. But I'm just saying that the relationships, I mean, when they were talking about the book, about relationships, the section of relationships, it's just not talking about romantic relationships. It's talking about relationships that you have with everybody and how those relationships work. I mean, we know for a fact, if you have a good interview, and a lot of times you have a good relationship with that person when you walk in the door. If you have these bad expectations, you usually get those too. So I'm going to bring Amy on right now. Hello, Amy. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Barbara's here. Say hi, guys.
Hello, Barbara. How are you?
Hi, Amy. I'm great. How about you?
I'm great. Great show tonight. The reason I was calling in is I need you guys to kind of try and break some ties for me. Basically, my friend got a phone call from like a private number a couple of days ago.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm a reader, she's a reader. We know a lot of readers. So she asked me, like, who I thought this was, and I gave her, like, my interpretation of it. And then she got a little confused and wanted to get some other opinions. So she went and called a couple other readers, and now she's, like, confused. So I thought, well, this might be it. Like, maybe you guys can break the tie and see, like, who you think called my friend the other day. Like, or even like any information you get, like a gender, if it's just a gender or description, or even if like what the reason was, anything like that.
Okay.
Because they just called and they hung up and it was from a private number. Well, they were on the line for like, I think like 20 or 30 seconds, but they didn't say anything.
A lot of breathing. Let's see. It was probably Amy calling the wrong number. But,
you're funny.
But now I'm thinking, you know, So Barbara, I'm getting some hits here and there, but
the only thing I get is they're wanting to know, why is this so important?
Good question.
They're wanting to know why it's important?
Yeah, her angels. Yeah. They're saying,
Why
is this so important to her to know who this is? You know, the one thing I get the most is it's like a confirmation. I also get a mail. I get a mail. I'm sorry, Amy, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I was just going to say, it's not really that it's so important. It's more for confirmation purposes, as Donnie was saying, because there's been a strange thing going on for the last 2 or 3 years with somebody, but there's no way to really confirm exactly who it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to just, it's not like it was just a hang-up call and that was a one-time deal. This has been going on for quite some time, but there's no way to prove or confirm, huh?
We're talking about what, 2, 3 years?
Yeah, 2, 3 years,
I keep getting 3 years, 2 months, about a week and a half. So there's like I feel like usually when I get that kind of timing with somebody, that's something that they've kept track of. And I keep getting a male presence. I also keep getting a person who was, I get a scary kind of tone to this thing too, where this person seems to have a, I guess I could say a jacked up personality, but it was almost like a this person has a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde personality. It seems like it comes off as a personality, but I'm just saying it's more psychotic than that. They seem to be really, really sweet, but then when they go the other way, they seem to be that extreme too as well.
Wow.
And it seems like the person has had this fascination with your friend for a while, too. I mean, I get the... Oh, come on, Michael. okay. I might.
You're doing wonderfully. I hope I didn't break your train.
No, I was sitting there going, okay. You know something it does from time to time? I just wish everybody would get into their heads and this pregnant family that I have that for some reason that I'm trying to do something here really important, I think. And I don't know what to say to them anymore to actually say, okay, guys, it seems like I've said this and this and this, but it seems like the most times that you guys really try to get my attention is during 8 to 10. I'm sitting there going, okay, I thought I made it very clear. But with the situation...
Just silence your phone, honey, and then you don't have to deal with them until after 10.
That is true. But see, the point is, I still have to deal with them after 10. I've had my mom come up here so many freaking times, and I'm supposed to have an apartment upstairs, and she's going to be downstairs. I said, Mom, I'd be freaky if you actually had an apartment complex. Would you actually be going to people's houses and saying, you cannot read tarot cards in that apartment? I don't think so, Mom. They'd have you arrested, okay? That's just the way it works. It's private property. I keep warning you guys, if you don't like it, I understand. I respect that. I don't bring it downstairs to you. I just don't bring this up to you. I don't talk about it. I don't do nothing. And all I ask is, I'm trying to give you respect. I understand your wishes. I just want you to give me the same kind of respect and wishes for what I do. Because I have no intention of stopping it anytime soon. I don't. And we've had that conversation a couple times, too, where I actually looked her right in the face and said, if it wasn't for this kind of work, I don't think I could have said that like 10 years ago. Say, Mom, this is the way it works. I know you don't like this. Too bad. I have no intentions of stopping it anytime soon. Does that mean I disrespect you in any way? No, it doesn't. I understand where you're coming from. I understand who you are. But all I ask is if you would do the same for me. Because this is who I am. This is what I do. I think I'm a whole lot deeper person than a tarot card, but you know what I'm saying. I think everybody understands what I'm saying.
Oh, I completely know what you're saying. You sort of stand your truth and smile. That's really all you have to do.
Exactly. So therefore, the whole thing. But the one thing I picked up the most was the thing I got with your friend where the close is. There are times that she feels like she's being watched.
Absolutely.
So the situation like that. So there's a connection. I feel like the phone call is that actually a whole lot closer than she would. Well, actually, it's one of those things of her admitting it that it's actually that close, and she wants that confirmation. I keep like she's trying to protect herself from this certain person.
Yes. Yes. And we're just wondering, because another reader had said it was a woman. I didn't get that, and the majority of other people didn't get that. But this woman, that said it was a woman, has been accurate in the past. So, kind of just put that seed of doubt in her head. And I said, mm-hmm. I really think we know who this is, but let's just call and see, what Donnie has to say and his guest has to say about it. And so it can kind of put her mind, at least in confirmation, that she's not crazy.
Well, I should say thank you for even considering calling us in the first place. That was...
Oh, absolutely.
Because I was sitting there thinking about the whole thing going, huh, yeah, okay. I'm just saying with the situation, knowing it. And when the woman picked up, see, this one thing I see too, the woman who picked up and said it could have been a woman, it could be many aspects of this guy's personality too.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's many levels, and there's some depth here of some things that are really deeply rooted with this person. That's why the way they are. And which we know that could be fit anybody, but I'm just saying this particular person, the idea of picking up that it could be a woman, is the idea of what he was thinking or his intent at that moment. Because I wouldn't say she's wrong. I've always said that with a lot of psychics. If you go to a lot of seven accurate psychics, you might actually get seven different stories, but you might actually be picking up on seven different paths or choices.
Right. She was saying it was a woman by gender, and that's what we were trying to figure out exactly, because I didn't get it was a woman. She didn't get it was a woman. Other people didn't get it.
No.
It was only except for these two people. So we're trying to kind of break the...
I got it. The male who actually might wear women's clothes. But
what? my God.
I can't... No, seriously. I was picking up on the idea that I kept on seeing this lady with not panties, but those... They're the kind of dressy kind of under clothes that women wear. You know what I'm talking about? That you would wear underneath their dress? They're kind of like pants, but they're more like they look like pajamas with no legs, with the legs cut off.
You think he has like a sexual hang-up or something?
The way it comes to me is more of a sexual fetish.
Okay.
Not a, not a hang up. And that's what, you know, the situation of dealing with this person is to realize that the way he comes off, and they're not hang ups. And if you use the word hang up, it sets him off.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It completely makes sense. I'm just wondering, like, if you get any age range or do you get anything else about his maybe physical description? I'm probably pushing it here. But I'm just wondering what you think. I mean, if you get nothing, that's fine, too.
The thing that comes to me is 38.
Okay.
Okay. Now, with the situation of 38 and that kind of stuff, that's what came to me, was just a 38. So I also get a lot of caution and a lot of warning around that, too, as well. So I don't know if this person is violent, but I do. I'm just saying with the situation, maybe I should say, I don't know if you guys know this, if this guy is violent, but I really feel like there's a really violent undertone here.
I think he's really mad at her because she's kind of stopped playing into his crap.
He seems like he also does a lot of mental stuff with her, too. Mental challenging energy. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's
like
a bunch of mind games and like a power battle going on.
Right.
I have to ask a question.
Uh-huh.
What are you guys creating? You're putting a lot of energy into this. Is this really what she wants to live?
No, not at all. She's actually pulled herself completely out of this situation for the past year, but these calls occasionally come in, and we're trying to just figure out so that she can know if it's somebody else because she has had other people interested in her, if it's the same person because she hasn't come around. Just trying to figure out what the motives of this person pretty much are so that she can be aware and make the best decisions possible to not go into the place where she could encounter this person, or if it's just, you know, clean slated, if it's done, if it's, you know, the energy's all moved out so that she can feel comfortable in her environment.
Hmm.
But what does she want to create? I mean, because it's your thoughts and your beliefs that actually creates what you experience. So right now she's creating that she's got this mysterious stalker. Is that really what she wants to have in her life?
I don't think she's created it. She's been getting these menacing phone calls and being watched by this person. I don't think she's created that. She's just noticed it and is trying to figure out if indeed it's confirmation that she is right on target, or if she's thinking it's somebody else when in fact it's another person.
Mm-hmm. No, what I would do in the situation, like, I would figure it out as soon as possible and then let that go and then say, okay, that's what's going on, and point in a different direction.
Well, and that's what she's been doing, but the problem is when these phone calls occasionally happen, it sends her back into this situation, unfortunately, in a psycho-spiritual way.
That's
so
what
we're
I was
trying
saying before,
to,
too. That's what I was talking about with the energy and playing these mind games mm-hmm. and stuff. Is the ideal of, I would probably definitely do some kind of, does she do any protection of herself or anything?
Yeah. No, yes, she does. She's a very
spiritual
person.
I'm just saying with the situation,
she
when you
said
that.
She removed herself from the situation. She
right.
stopped thinking about it. She stopped paying attention to it. But when the phone rings and somebody's there, you know, the last time the person said, you know, she said, you know, who is this? And they said, who is this? And you know, all this crazy stuff. So this time they didn't say anything at all, and we're just trying to, she's moved on from it. She's completely clear energy of it. But these things keep coming back, almost like shackles or chains trying to drag her down again. So we're just trying to figure out, okay, if it is this person, here's what you need to do. If it's not, then there's nothing to worry about. Do you know what I mean? There's
oh yeah, no problem. I'm just saying with the energy, I'm just saying with this guy doing these mental things, is it's almost like he finds her in moments that when she has moved on, she's doing great, that kind of stuff. It's like he knows, like he's reading her thoughts. That's why I was asking about the protection thing. It seemed like he's still getting through. So I'm just saying with your friend, I mean, I would just sit down and talk to her and say, are you sure that you're actually not thinking just a little bit in there that he could actually grasp onto? Because it seems like he is grasping onto something that's still with her that keeps that connection mm-hmm. between the two of them opened up. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I agree with
you. He's feeding off of her energy. Because she's putting the energy of fear out there, and he's feeding off of that. So as long as she's afraid, as long as she's letting this fear rule her, and, you know, how she feels about answering the phone and everything else, then it's going to continue.
Well, there's no real fear. It's just a curiosity of, okay, is this part of the extended battle plan, or is this just done? You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't think she's afraid of him at all, but it's just, what is it? Just trying to answer a question. Thank you guys so much.
No, I understand, Amy. I'm just saying, with your friend, just ask her. You know, because sometimes people do have a tendency to hide things from us that we can't pick up on. I'm just saying, just have a nice conversation with her. Because I've had the same conversation with some of my friends, too. They keep telling me something over and over again, and we're sort of going, okay, there's something here that doesn't make any sense. And just asking for them to be honest. I'm not saying they're not. It's just the ideal to look deep within oneself. That's all I'm saying. I understand. I understand what you're doing. I understand the plans you got going on. It's just I keep being pulled back to just sitting down with her and having a conversation and asking her if there was just a little bit of something that, as we're talking about fear, because I wouldn't say it's enormous. I'm just saying there's something there, because I had the same problem myself.
Yeah, it's just she doesn't want to get dragged down into the situation again. If this person's trying to drag her back, we just want to know so that she can counteract and act accordingly so that she doesn't get sucked back into it. That's all.
Okay. No. I understand exactly what you're saying. I'm just saying I've been there myself, and sometimes I had to go a little bit deeper than what I thought, and actually end up doing a past life regression to find out that it was a little bit of guilt that I'd never even thought about. Something had happened to me, and it might not even be with this situation. The situation I had was I was trying to figure out what was going on in the present situation that I actually traced back to when I was 10 years old of another fear that tapped onto the one that was going on, or somebody was tapping on with me and was definitely using it against me all the time, until I actually went back and did that and realized that a little bit of guilt was still there. Next thing I know, I could defend myself against this person and block them out. I just had to get rid of that one little bit of peace. That's what I'm saying. So don't take it as any kind of, you know, attacking or anything like that. It was just...
Oh, I'm not. No, I'm not at all. No.
Okay. I just wanted to look at the situation. And I'm saying, I just picture the idea of sitting down with her and having a conversation with her. Maybe even take it one step further to just have more of an arsenal against this person so he cannot do it anymore. Because I feel like he's feeding on something. Okay. And that's what I'm saying. I picked the whole thing up. And it's just really, I just wish it was one of those things where, I don't know, it's one of those situations when you look at people and go, okay, if you could just hug them and cut everything loose. But at the same time, the conversation seemed like it would definitely be a step in the right direction.
I'll do that. Guys, thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And you have a good night. And I guess you're going to be on my show on March 1st, aren't you? No, I'm going to be on your show on March 1st.
You're coming on my show, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I got that back. Huh. Yeah, okay, Amy, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. No, it'll be great. I'm looking forward to it, Donnie.
Amy, why don't you tell everybody who you are and tell them about your show, too, as well. I think it's a great show. I've been on
okay.
a show a couple of times and had such a great time with that freaking show. Oh, I just loved it down there. You guys
oh,
have a great
thank you so much. The name of my show is Cupid Psychic Aim. I'm a professional psychic tarot reader. I've been reading for over 16 years. Got my own website. It's cupidshealinghearts.com. I read on Keen under the screen name Cupid's Healing Hearts. And basically, I specialize in love relationships and got my own show here to kind of help the people that can't afford to call me on Keen or through my website. I know the economy is really bad, so I've turned my show kind of into a learning forum and an enlightenment forum for my not only myself but my listeners, and I have guests on all the time. We just had a show the other night about color therapy, and we had a color therapist come on and do divinely guided color readings. I had Rose Tree on. She talked about money manifestation and energetic literacy. We've got so much going on, and then every show on the second hour for an hour, I do readings with my guests if they choose to read with me or not. It's really up to them. But yeah, Donnie's come on and read a bunch for my listening audience, so I can't wait to have you back, Donnie, on the 1st. It'll be a great show.
Heck yeah, no problem. I shall be there, and we'll be happening and dancing across the freaking New York. I was going to say New York Harbor. I meant to say Times Square, but you know what I mean. Anyway, we always say shit. We always go shit around here because the economy is fantastic, Amy. So we're trying to put that energy out there. The economy is great.
Well, we got to be a little realistic too, you know. I'm not saying play into the negativity of the economy. You can definitely manifest yourself past this economy, but for people that are having trouble being able to do that or don't think they can do that or whatever, there is a little bit of a money shortage for some people to learn
how to think
so that they can achieve prosperity and more money than they know what to do with. So that's why I had Rose Tree on. She came to talk about, you know, how to think, how to attract more money with becoming literate, not just not literacy, but energetic literacy.
Yeah, she's a sweet lady too. There was a couple of things I had to come, you know, kind of like a gave me kind of a little niche. I was like, I don't know if I can believe that, but she was just the way she does it. She talks and stuff. She's pretty convincing, and I liked some of the things she said. I loved her book. I actually checked out the book myself. I've actually been sending it to everybody else's too. I actually went on to Amazon.com and actually put it on the show page of a lot of my shows. To sit there and say, okay, if you can get this book, this is a great book, and it's just another thing that you can put in your arsenal of actually combating the economy and realizing that the economy is nothing. I was doing this the other day, I mean, we were talking about Atlanteans and mass consciousness, and I said, mass consciousness, kind of a weird thing, but I had a vision of the Atlanteans were having a mass consciousness, and the idea of using mass consciousness and the energy itself and crystals. They created a power source of their own, which if you sit down...
Oh, wow.
Yes, they created this energy source of its own. But see, what the thing was, to keep everybody in check and focusing on peace and positivity, any kind of differences in that mass consciousness would also... Either the energy source could work more for you or work against you, which is pretty much the same thing with it is now with people getting back to manifestation. So I was sitting there going, they've changed the name to, I think in some ways, in some kind of cultures, to the economy... of its having its own consciousness of itself. And I was just saying, well, if you could change mass consciousness to the positive like the Atlanteans did, then the economy could always work for us instead of always working against us. So
right. Well, it's working for me, I know, but I get a lot of calls from people that, it, you know, they don't seem to think it's working for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we try and do that work and to go over what their thoughts are, what their beliefs are about their prosperity.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I think, buy into the false belief that they can't attract prosperity. I've never had money. I've never had it before. You know, so I think people should, you know, tend to think positively about the economy, about what's going on in the world, about their own levels of manifestation and that they can attract to them that which they seek. As long as they're thinking about what they want, not about what they don't have.
Because I was sitting there talking to people before, I said, maybe you should try changing the word sacrifice to let go and give up, because it's a little different than because sacrifice seems so, whoa, you know. And I was sitting to people going, what do you mean they're sacrifices? I said, no, there isn't. You choose a path, you go down that path, in the process of making that choice of what's best for you, you give up the things that are not. I said, you see how you did that? You're not sacrificing anything. You're giving up what's best for you to go down that one path that you've chosen. So look at it that way. It's like when you get fired. Just look and go, oh, I can see the arrow on the guy's head. It's saying it's time to go on. Don't sit there and get mad at the guy because you're just wasting your energy. Just focus on the energy of saying, okay, you asked for a sign, you asked for direction, and they gave you direction, so take that. And look at it in a positive way. And I guarantee you keep looking at everything more in a positive way, you're going to see more positive things happen in your life. And that's because I just had this really close to home. My daughter just got fired, and she basically took a whole week off from life to basically cry about it. And I was I wasn't being mean to her or nothing. I was trying to be understanding and trying to help her see things in a different light than what she's always been. But it was hard, you know, because it's like we have a lot of other things around us, and I'm not going to say I hate anything. It's just the idea of certain things I don't like about religion, of saying that you have to sacrifice and all these other things, and I've never seen that. I've read the Bible myself, and in the Bible I have a tendency to look at things differently, and there is no such thing as sacrifice. Even Jesus never sacrificed himself. He gave himself. It's a different thing. It's a different concept. And I know what you're saying. People have been taught certain ways, and it's really hard to get through some of those teachings because of the way they come from. So...
Right. Right.
I'm about ready to go.
Yeah, we're talking a little bit in the chat room about that, and you know, I'm not trying to say we should, you know, focus on how bad the economy is and not co-create with God or whatever you believe in to to attract prosperity, but I don't think we should lose touch with reality and say, I'm going to have more money than I know what to do with and go out on a shopping spree or not worry about paying the mortgage because we're going to attract prosperity. You know what I mean? It's a process.
Right.
It's something that we gradually work towards by thinking about what we want and working towards manifesting that and not being concerned about time frames or when it's going to happen, knowing we're connected to it. And it's just a matter of time before it's pulled into our physical reality.
That's what we talk about, living it. We're talking about living it. You know, it's like you go out there. Because people look at me and say, you're going out to the store to buy all this, this, and this, and this. I said, well, the way I believe, to me, it's not a shopping spree or going out and buying something that's only have $20 left. No, my philosophy is I believe that the world and universe is so prosperous. I have that positive thinking. I'm going out there getting what I want and actually getting what I need. A lot of us have a tendency to stop everything and go, I got $10 left, who won't even go out to the store and buy food for themselves because they want to hang on that $10 bill. And I'm like, okay, I understand where you guys are coming from, but look at the ideal of what money is. And I had a lady freaked out when I told her this too. Money is a spiritual concept. And she goes, oh, how the hell is that? I liked her response. How the hell is that? I said, give and receive. You reap what you sow. So if you don't put nothing out there, what are you going to get back? I said, for example, I've had some women I've worked with who have a tendency, they don't want to give nothing, but they want their man to give them everything. And they can't understand why that's not working. And I said, well, you're not giving anything. So what makes you think you should get anything back in return? And they're going, well, he's the man. He's supposed to take care of me. He's supposed to do all these other things. I'm sitting there going, and when you're right. I stopped in the middle of my tracks and go, okay, this is the way she was taught. So that's kind of hard.
Her belief is that other people have to create or donate my prosperity to me because I can't do it myself.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, but there are ways of going about those things. But you're right. It's one step at a time of changing those kind of formats. Because that's what I'm saying. Those people look at me and go, okay, you're being irresponsible. I said, no, I'm actually being true to myself, just like you are with your beliefs. Just because I don't believe them doesn't mean I don't understand what you're doing and respect that and say, okay, I understand where you're coming from. Just look at myself, my situation the same way as well. But I'm just saying, when you come to that understanding, I do understand one thing too, that everybody who comes across our path is a reflection of something in us, good or bad, that we should take a time to look at and say, okay, why is that person crossing my path?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with your co-host when she's saying here that it means knowing that everything you need is always provided by God, and I completely believe that. I don't worry, because as you've said and I've said before, worry is prayer for what we don't want to happen, and we don't want to put any energy into that. But at the same time, we have to look at our circumstances. We have to look at reality, and not to say that we have to accept that reality is going to be always this way, because the only thing in life that's constant is change. So we know that, we can attract prosperity. We know that it's only a matter of time. We're not worried about the time. We know it's coming for us, and we know that we're going to have everything that we need. There's nothing more to really do. I just see a lot of people go off on a limb with the law of attraction and say, well, I don't have to worry about paying my mortgage because I'm manifesting $3,000 this month. Do you know what I mean? But they're missing a piece here. They're so high up in the stratosphere, they're not paying attention to what's going on down here on Earth. Their feet aren't on the ground. You know what
I
mean?
They lose their house.
We have to keep our... Yeah, you have to keep your feet on the ground to a certain degree and say, okay, even though I'm working on manifestation, even though I'm working on increasing prosperity in my life by changing my thoughts because my thoughts co-create with me my reality, at the same time, we have to kind of keep our focus here too. You know, yes, I'm going to have to save. Yes, I'm going to have to pay the mortgage, and if I'm having problems paying the mortgage, I'm going to have to be saving money, or I'm going to have to go out and get another job. But I think a lot of the pitfalls of law of attraction is people think that these things are just going to fall into their laps. Do you know what I mean? And that's not the case. We have to do the footwork for God to help us, for the universe to help us, for whatever it is. We can't just sit back and say, as I see so many people do with relationships or money, when is the money coming? When is the guy coming? It's not about that. It's about your thinking. It's about knowing that you're going to attract this, that you're already connected to it through energy, vibrational energy. It's more than that. Do you know what I don't know if you know what I'm trying to say here, but...
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying.
A lot of people think it's just going to fall, and the psychic's job is to tell me when, and that's not the case.
No.
It's up to you.
Yeah, teaching... What we mean by teaching you guys is the ideal of saying... Like I was saying earlier, I made $3,000 that one month But I didn't do it at home. I realized I was at home and it wasn't working. So I went to my shop every day and I would affirm what was going on. But I had to do the footwork to be in the right place at the right time to accept all those things. And there was some things that did drop in my lap. That's what I'm saying. When I said in the early show, I said there were things that dropped in my lap. But look where I was at. I wasn't at home. I was in my shop where I knew financial, where I was in, I was in my place of service. See, that's the point. If you put yourself in a, and you focus, I know this for a fact, because every time you focus on nothing but service, everything seems to come to you, and everything seems to be taken
care of. Oh, definitely.
On that situation, will go that way. But if you guys are just sitting there, and I found this out the hard way, too, that and it was great having that shop, because I actually really got deep into spirituality itself, not just doing readings and things. But it was one of the things I was realizing was not, it was a life, not one of those things where you were trying to be spiritual, and it was like actually really figuring out. I'm a very spiritual person. It was just the idea of realization and regaining that thought.
There's no magical spell, or there's no magical thought that we can have that can drop the money in our laps. We have to take action. You know, we have to. It's not a matter of being disempowered and things coming to us and dropping into our laps because of circumstance or luck or whatever it is. We make our own luck.
That's what I was trying to say.
Our own prosperity.
Yeah. And yeah, also the idea of listening to your guidance. And you know, when we say listen to your guidance, it's the idea that they're guiding you into places to go. It might be one of those things of not. If you have guidance telling you to walk in a bank and rob it, that's your ego, okay? If you have your guidance, because we were talking about this on the show, Amy, too, and you've probably seen this, too. The idea of manifestations that I've seen that are actually spiritual and they're meant to be is like, for instance, when I got my shop, it was something that worked out for everybody. Everybody won with that manifestation. But there was another manifestation my daughter did in the process of making it a selfish decision to walk off with money and not give it to somebody else for a bill. Now, that person lost, okay? So you see the differences. I always feel like a true manifestation that's going to happen, that's good, that you should definitely fall through. I don't even have how to put this. I'm just saying, I know that all the manifestations I've ever done in my whole life that were really good and going in the right direction, everybody won. Even the mortgage company got their money, you got your money, you got your situation, you still got a roof over your head. These were always, and they were always getting better and better and better. If you're in a situation and you're waiting, you have just stopped everything because you're in this mode of waiting, waiting, waiting for something to happen. See, in the process of manifestations, we, you know this for a fact, Amy, in the process of actually noticing that we've manifested something, we're usually living it, and we have a tendency to stop for a second and go, wow, it happened.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
We were living it. We wasn't sitting here waiting for it to happen. We were living it. So if you're sitting here going, okay, I put a thing out there, and you're just sitting there not doing nothing, because, I mean, if you're trying to make some extra money or something like that, or you're looking for some great career, but you're sitting at your house waiting for someone to knock on your freaking door.
Right.
Like I said, we had a lady who married her postman. But that's one of those extreme cases where her guidance was...
Well, yeah, that's an extreme case. But, like, for instance, I told the story on my show before Rose Rose Tree came on. I grabbed her book and was going to read it before the show. And on the flight to Florida, I wasn't worrying about money. I never worry about money, although I am looking at the realistic facts and figures of what I'm making every week or every month. I can see that for the last, you know, January and February, I've been down a little bit. But I don't worry about that because I know that, you know, everything has changed. So I'm reading this book, and the next day I had a lawyer that I never even hired call me and give me $2,500 for a problem that I already fixed and got $700 for anyway. So I think the key is raising our vibrational energy with the things that surround us. You know, number one, I don't think it really mattered what was in that book, but the energy, the vibrational energy of that book was helping me to attain or change my financial picture. I'm interested in it. I'm connecting to that idea.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the next day, boom, $2,500. I'm not saying it's always that simple, but if we're not worried, yes, we're grounded in realism and saying, okay, my numbers don't lie. I can see that from, you know, December to January to February, numbers have been going down. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm not going to worry about it, but I am going to be aware of it so that I'm not overspending. I'm not charging up my credit cards. I'm being realistic about this.
Yeah.
And I've got an open mind so that I can be receptive to more prosperity coming in. And then it was like, boom, there it was. It just happened to me again last night. I have clients that actually send me birthday presents. I had a woman that I hadn't heard from in a while. She said, here's an extra 50. It's your birthday. Happy birthday. You know, it's like this stuff.
No,
normally
no, I see it happen all the time. Yes, I know. I see it happen all the time. Yeah, because I've had it too. Well, I had a lady who was sitting there doing, we did an hour session, and we went over about 22 minutes, and I told her, I said, you know, if you want to donate some money to the show, go right ahead. So I went in there, and she donated $25. I was like, okay. And then this one lady I was doing, I did a session for with her, because she was having some problems with her her husband's ex, and she was kind of scared about that situation. And I was sitting there saying, you know, I said, you're always good to me and everything else, so, you know, whatever you feel like paying, go right ahead. So I was sitting there watching my PayPal account, and all of a sudden, $50 popped in, and I about fell off my freaking seat. I'm like, okay. Like, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I said, Holly, next time you do that, please warn somebody, okay? I almost had a heart attack. And but yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think there's a definite separation there between being deluded into thinking, you know, other than what reality is, and telling yourself, oh, everything's wonderful, when realistically it's not the best, but it's going to improve. I think that thought is a better thought to have than almost lying. Do you know what I mean? And saying, oh, no, everything's fine, and just continuing to spend the way that you spend. You know, you have to kind of keep track of things and be a little bit grounded in realism, too.
No, I understand what you're saying, because I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, I said, of course, you don't sit there and tell yourself, okay, everything's great. But all I tell people to do is, in the process of the situation, look for something. I mean, I was in Colorado starving for 4 days. And my angels came to me and said, are you really starving? You've always wanted to be in a position of actually fasting. And I said, well, that's true. And she goes,
awesome.
I go, well, there you go. You just did 4 days of fasting. So how do you feel? And I actually felt great. So, you know, it was one of those things of a different way of looking at things, but I'm just saying, if you look at everything in that way, I'm pretty sure you're going to find something positive about it. I'm not saying it's a great situation, but you can find something out, because I've always found something positive.
Well, right, and then, you know, maybe that not-so-great situation leads you to a thought, okay, what can I do to increase my prosperity, because things have been down for the last couple of months, you know? I've started doing that and trying to take, you know, some action steps as far as, you know, my responsibility and where I'm at financially. And it's I'm getting all these green lights of the people are coming in. I want to start teaching some classes on the tarot, on astrology, on manifestation. All these people are showing up, and the platform is showing up, and the money's showing up to pay for it. And it's just, it really is. Like, as long as you take some kind of action, some kind of footwork in your own, you know, life and the things that you want, they're not going to drop in your lap, but everything will show up.
It's like one lady, I can't remember her name, but she has a lot of good positive CDs, and she was saying that she was sitting there and she said, I took my last $20, and to prove that the universe is prosperous, I took that last $20 and I sent it to a charity. And she said, then I got a job that week for $1,500. But she said the one thing she did do is she did the work. Now, she was a person, she was a life coach, she'd done her homework, she'd done the connections and stuff. All she was doing was reaffirming to her that the universe was prosperous, and therefore she just started getting more people feeling that vibration. So she actually told me about a couple of places where she actually got to do some lectures at some places that they usually don't charge, they usually don't pay for, and she got a couple of those. And but the point is that she is a life coach. They knew that. They brought her in there, and she did the work, and they compensated her for what she thought she was worth. That was the whole point. I was sitting out there going, okay, you're waiting on the street corner on a freaking fire hydrant waiting for $3,000 to show up, and you're not doing anything, and it's not going to happen. But even the guy who sits there and somebody walks up and goes, here's $25,000 to start a business. If you want to thank me for it, just be successful. But I guarantee you that person put something out in order to get it back. And we're actually, because I think this one guy actually had a
Well,
nice
you have to be really careful about what you ask for, I think, because if you're asking the universe, I want $2,000, you're going to get more, I want $2,000. You're going to see more want. But if you say, I am willing to take the action to increase my prosperity, no real number, but I am willing to take the action step, show me what I need to do. You know, things just happen. People just show up. Opportunities come.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, seriously, that's why I had that shop down in Colorado, and I knew for a fact I'd walk by that sucker 6,000 times and said, nope, that's too small. And as soon as I sit there and let down my resistance to actually the possibilities of what that could be, and then it actually turned out to be everything I ever wanted. So, but I had this thing in my head too. I think you should also refine tune your wants too as well, and tell yourself, okay, what do you really want? Because I mean, my angels come to me so many times and say, okay, why do you need three partners, and why do you need a big old building, and why do you need, you know, why do you want to do this? Because last year you had no intentions of selling anything, as in metaphysical in that sense. You just wanted to do readings. So what has changed? And basically, I had to come to the conclusion that nothing had changed. It was just that I know I'd worked with a partner. I'd worked with partners before, and for some reason I just had a tough time doing it on my own and not realizing that I actually wanted to do it on my own. It was just the idea of taking that step to do that. And as soon as I put myself in that freaking shop, you're right, as soon as you make those kind of things, you also got to do the work. Like, go through with it, call the people on the phone, say, hey, I'd like to rent your shop. And then they would come to me and say, okay, this place goes for $300 a month, but you, what do you want to pay for it? And I said, I want to pay $150. Then ask for what you want. But I also had to go to those people and say, hey, you know something? I want to pay $100. I didn't ask them, could I pay $150 either? I said, I want to pay $150. I want to do this, this, and this, and this. And the people go, okay. I got fell off my seat.
Well, right. I think a lot of people don't think past that. Like, the, again, disempowerment and circumstances, and people are against me, you know. $300
yeah.
is $300, and that's what it is. Well, why do you believe that, you know? If you're truly open-minded and receptive to the universe,
yes, exactly.
Ask for what you want, you know? The worst that
that's
can happen is someone tells you no, but how about $200, Donnie, and you're still $100 to get ahead of the game. But, you know?
No, one thing I've always said before is actually let things pass like they're supposed to and do the work and go through the action. I've always gotten more than what I've asked for. So, and I always sit there and say, thank you,
yeah.
God and angels, for the four readings I did this week. Thank you very much, the four readings I did today. I'm constantly
always
saying
definitely.
Thank
gratitude
you.
Is another attractant as well. Gratitude brings things to you as well, because you're open, you're receptive, and you're grateful, you're thankful, and that increases your vibrational energy as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to steal the show here. I'm going to go, but it's been great talking to you, Donnie, and I'll talk again soon.
That's true, but I want to say that one thing before you leave. Okay?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. It's on the 14th.
Because I was sitting there looking at, and I thought for sure you were going to show up yesterday on our morning show, and I actually had in the chat room said, these are my rates, and they're good until February 14th. And also, I said, also, thank you. Happy birthday, Amy, because I forgot. I was sitting there going, her birthday is the
14th. Oh, thank you.
So it was like one of those
thank
things going,
so
okay. Oh, you're welcome, and thank you. And no, you didn't steal the show.
I didn't want to take up too much time. I know I blabber on.
No, it was cool. I mean, I think a lot of people had just learned a lot of stuff from what they just heard. So, therefore, let's just let it kind of resonate out there and hope it really changes a lot of people, where they can look at the economy a little bit differently as something they can actually use for them instead of against them.
Oh, yeah. You can always, you know, use something that's not going too great to your advantage. I mean, it doesn't have to hold you back. It doesn't have to weigh you down. Being aware of what's going on is the platform for diving into the higher realms of manifestation and
mm-hmm.
springboard, actually. So I don't think,
yeah.
you know, lying to yourself and telling yourself everything's great when it's not doesn't work. But knowing that things aren't great, but they're going to turn around, and they're going to turn around really soon because I believe in my prosperity levels. I believe in myself, my manifestation skills. I know that change is coming. It always does.
Right,
you know.
There you go. That's the point. You have to know and let it. And just, like I got to say the other day, when I was sitting there going, thank you, God and angels, for the four readings I'm going to do today. I said that so many times that I could just feel the vibration rising right at that moment, and it was just so incredible.
Exactly, exactly. Well, take care of yourself, honey, and thanks so much, guys, for the readings. Barbara, thank you, and chat room, thank you. It's been a great time.
Well, thank you for being here. I'll see you March 1st.
Okay,
bye-bye,
Amy.
Bye-bye. Oh, my gosh. Okay, Barbara, if you can call back in real quick. Freaking jumpy thing. We're going to sit here and thank everybody for being with the show. And thank you for all being here. Thank you for all the callers. Thank you, Amy, for dropping in. Thank you, Barbara. I love it, man. You're really on top of things in the chat room. Fantastic. The information for her to contact her for to do readings with her is in the chat room as well. So check that one out. It was great. Fantastic. I really appreciate it, guys. Join us tomorrow. It's Friday.
Nicole Bowman's going to be here at 8:30, and we're going to do readings all show for 3 hours from 8 to 11. So join us then, and we'll talk to you then, and you guys have a great one, and we're out of here. Trying to get people to understand. Yeah, this is like jumpy stuff around on this one, buddy. Trying to get people to understand how powerful they are. How powerful are you? And it was kind of funny. She popped in the show. I don't know, man. Sometimes I wish she didn't have a boyfriend. But you didn't hear that anywhere else. Are we on the air? she's a pretty a lot of powerful energy there.
Yeah, she was interesting.
She was interesting. I knew what you were trying to say to her. If you make it important, then it takes on an energy of its own. And
looks like that's what happened with them. So.
And I was trying. And that's what I was trying to tell. I taught to get through to Amy is just the ideal of sit down with your friend and ask her as she really let go of all the fear that goes with this, because there's something there. That the person, and I can tell her before, I mean, and back in my life, I mean, something I was hanging on since I was 10 years old, it was something really small, but someone definitely could play off of it. And a lot of people did. Until that was let go, and they didn't have nothing else to do that. And we talked about it before when we were doing the reading, when I told her that he was playing energy mind games with her friend, and she started laughing, because she, yeah, okay, you're right about that one. And, can we give you any names? My angels have a tendency to say this. I had a guy come in my shop one time doing a reading for him and everything. And he says, you told me awesome things about my business and me and what I should do and that kind of stuff, but you never have told me what I do for a living. What is my business? And I said, my angel said, you know what you do. We're not here to be tested. We're here to answer questions and here to help you. But we're not here to tell you what you do for a living just so you can accept what we have said to you. And he goes, okay, that makes sense. And they said they thought so too. So we're not trying to be disrespectful to you at all, but in some ways you are being disrespectful yourself because you're playing games. When you have a business that is very important to you, and that's your first priority, you know, you and your business, and you're not doing that. You're testing the psychic. And they kind of got. They, it wasn't like they were getting. I wouldn't say they were getting irritated with the whole thing. They just come in there and give people what they need to know and say, okay, this is what you're doing. Do you think it would be fair if someone did the same thing to you? I mean, more likely, no, they wouldn't. So Amy, like me, she has a tendency to apologize sometimes before things that she shouldn't have apologized for just being herself. And she's very passionate about it. And, I don't know. For some reason, I felt pretty honored that she actually came to us to ask us that question. So she came exclusively to come here to. She knew you were on the show on Thursday too. So, I know for a fact that people cross our paths for a reason, and that was a good thing. And I think she took it in a good way. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
So I think she's just being. I think she's just protecting her friend. We probably would all do the same thing, right? I mean, sometimes, you know, we give people information, and even people that should know it have a tendency to get defensive because they're just defending themselves, their friends, and they'll get it. She'll sit there and think about it. I've talked to her before about things, and
she thought about. We had that Amy. That's the one. I don't know if I told you this. Amy's the one. It was her show that some Jamaican lady came on and gave her this thing that she's going to die this year.
Oh yeah, you did mention that.
That's Amy. I mean, when you pick up things with that girl, I don't, like I told her, I said, I don't see that girl going away anytime soon, probably the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like she's here for a reason, and she's going to teach a lot of people a lot of good things and a lot of great things she's going to accomplish. And I think she's actually going to sit down with her friend and say, okay, is there anything that you're still a bit fearful about in this situation? Because you said you've dealt with it and you've let it go, but is there something you might not have, maybe you haven't let go of? And, Amy,
yeah.
Amy, yeah, seriously, I went on Amy's show a couple of times and ended up doing readings instead of getting a question answered. So, that's like being a rock star, I swear it is. You're like, okay, hey, you want to come up on the stage and play with our band? I had a friend of mine, when we played music before, we had this band, and Richard, our lead guitarist, we were in a bar. I should say he was in a bar because he told me about this later. He said, man, it was so cool. I'm sitting in this bar having a drink, and there's this band up on stage, and he looked down at me and says, hey, it's Richard with that band called Nothing Flat. Hey, Rich, why don't you come and play with us? So he told everybody how a fantastic lead guitarist he was and stuff. And Richard's like, man, he said, I was walking on air, man. He said, I've never had that happen to me before where someone's asked me to come up and accompany another band because of the band that I was in was that popping. And I think we were at that one, and one, it was a couple of times we were actually like, number two or number three in the area with the bands and stuff. So it was fun. I have to admit, I haven't drank since. Thank goodness. I don't think I could have handled it. But no, Amy's. I went on Amy's show, and she has a lot of energy. And she's very positive. I understand what she's saying by being rooted in reality, which means being grounded on the ground, which means we all talk about one thing when we do meditations is we talk to people about grounding themselves.
Sorry.
You are a grounding rod. Therefore, it's easier for you to, the more grounded you are, the more it is to attract things to you. I mean, the main components in some things of electromagnet is copper. And copper cables.
Right.
To attract. So therefore, and I've had some people do this too. They took copper and put it underneath their welcome mat on their car, on their house, the front door and the back door. Somebody told her to take eight pennies and put them under her welcome mat. And even Amy admitted to her too that things pop in her lap too. But she's also saying that she already had things in the works. She was doing the work to get those things. And that's what I was saying too. I got a free palm reading. It turned out to be $65. And a guy who came to my shop, where I just kind of put myself out there to talk to. But see, I was at my shop. I wasn't home waiting for something to happen. I guess we could sit here and say like this: guidance will lead you where you need to be at, so these things can drop in your lap. So you want to put your lap in the right place.
Exactly. Right.
You know, I'm coming on the air, man. Let me write that down. But no, seriously, Barbara, I appreciate you being here. And I was like, it wasn't like we were. It's just like everything had a tendency to take on a life of its own. But I told you before, every time you come on the show, that's exactly what happens. The energy.
Oh, that's okay.
The combination of energy, just the idea of a person as positive as you are. The combination just seems to attract people in that door. And we don't get a lot of callers, man, but we do have some powerful ones. You know, it was like the other day I was focusing on more of quality, not quantity. So that could be.
Well, I spent most of my time talking to people in the chat room, so I was answering questions in there and channeling answers while you were talking most of the time.
Yeah, so I was sitting there talking to her, and she was like, she was even noticing what you would say in the chat room. And Amy, multitask. So I was sitting there talking to her, and she was like, I don't know, sometimes some people have a tendency to do give me some kind of wild energy about this, that, and the others, where you just don't know. And I did think it was kind of cruel, because she said, this lady who called in and talked to Amy said that somebody that she knew had told that lady to call in and to do what she did, as in the sense of give Amy a reading. And she said that Amy was, I understand what Amy is saying too. Amy said she's always trying to keep a positive mind, focusing on the positive things to happen. And she couldn't believe that she would attract something negative with that kind of striving to always be positive. Which it does kind of go against the whole thing. And she's like, and then she told Amy that she didn't like Amy's readings because Amy just told people the positive side. She never told them the whole truth. I said, that's interpretation. And, she, and then the lady
that's
goes, well,
true.
if someone's going to die, you should tell them they're going to die. I believe that too. But I think there's a way of doing it. And being a voodoo mystic, I'm just kind of scaring the shit out of people. I don't think that's a good way to do it. I actually read a book by Doreen Virtue where she said that she had a person came to her as a psychotherapist and she did angel readings with her therapy. And she said the angels came and angels were always there telling her, well, there's a lady, you need to tell her that she's going to die. And Doreen Virtue was just like, you know, I can't do that. I can't bring myself to tell her that she's going to die. And the angels said, you need to tell her that she's going to die so therefore she can prepare for it because she already knows. But she needs the confirmation, so therefore she can prepare herself for these things and what's going to happen. So therefore, you need to say what you got to say, and you should always say what you got to say and always come through and ring true. So she did. And it was one of those things, you know, sometimes I think we're scared to death of certain people's reactions, so we don't go there. Believe me on that
one.
And my daughters and everybody, today I was going to listen to what you said, and believe me, things that you say to people do stick with them for a very long time because of the way you put it. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because the way you say things is, you know, like you said to Amy, I'm pretty sure what you said to Amy made her think. Now, is she going to sit there and tell you right off the bat? In a way, she did, but she did in her own way. But I sensed what Amy was taking it. Not in an offensive way. I think she was being, how would we put it? She's being true to herself and what she believes.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what she's saying is, okay, I hear what you say, but I don't believe that because I think we've done everything. And just by saying the word, I think we've done everything, she's still letting a little bit out there saying, we will go over this later. but no, I was sitting there going over the whole thing. And like you said the other day about my family, I was sitting there going, okay, my family keeps still respecting me, and they keep getting worse to the point where, I mean, my daughter walked in today and basically handed me a bag of cookies, and they left, which is her way of saying, you're babysitting. So they're just getting more tactful about getting what they want by not saying anything at all. So I was like, okay, so you say I'm babysitting. She goes, so, I guess you're not as stupid as we thought. Well, thank you very much. I still can't get over Shannon. She goes, I never realized intelligence you was. I said, one of these days you have to explain that to me, what they meant by that one. She's talking to me now. She's saying, what do you want to do? She goes, you taught me how to say yes. And by saying yes, it sends out positive vibrations. So therefore, the things I want, I will get. And I want you. I was like, okay. You were listening.
Okay.
No? Yeah. So she goes, well, do you love me or not? I said, that's not the point. It's the ideal, looking at the situation. Now, she's been telling me that she's planning on coming to Ohio in a couple weeks, if not sooner. And I'm sitting there going, okay, if she's going, like we've been talking about, if she's going to sit there and say this is what I want, and she's actually going to do the work and follow the action, it might be a different outcome. So there for a while, she was being stubborn and refusing to do anything. As we were talking about before, my name was talking about where people have a tendency to go, I'm sitting here on the steps waiting for my $3,000 to show up, you know. But, I mean, the one thing that we try to stress to people, too, those people are just saying, I want $3,000. Now, I've always said to wish for money just for money's sake, I think you're spinning your tires. That's a waste of energy because you're not really focusing on exactly, you know, I want to make a $2,400, if not $4,000 a week income. For one reason is because I feel like I deserve it for what I do. So it's actually on a service of saying, okay, this is what I do. This is what I give to people in the midst of a session, of an hour session, 2 hour session. I give myself completely. So therefore, I feel like I deserve $4,000 a week income. And to get 24 and to do 24 readings a week and to do this show every week. I feel like I deserve this, so therefore I feel like I deserve the money, the compensation, so therefore I can keep doing what I love to do. But people aren't selling the freaking street corner going, I just want $3,000. Why do you want $3,000? Because I feel better. Okay, what does that mean? I'll feel better. Okay, so if I take a bundle of $100 bills, which totals $3,000, and they hit you in the head with it, would you feel better? I would definitely feel different. So, but you try to sit under stress and say it's feelings. Your passion. What are you passionate about? I feel like I should be compensated for $4,000 because I, you know, for the passion that I put out. I'm passionate about what I do. Passionately want that $4,000. I said, you see the vibration just rising in the room at the time you say it. I said, listen to you guys, $3,000. I don't feel that. Okay, what do you want? I want $3,000. Okay, why? I just want $3,000. $3,000 for why? What are you passionate about? Don't know. But if I had $3,000, I'd be more passionate. You see how people do that and how they kind of reverse it?
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing you got to be passionate. I mean, about this, I'm passionate about going to Colorado, so therefore I feel like I deserve the opportunity to go to Colorado right this minute, right this week. This week, this day, this hour, this minute. Dismissed. I'm out of here. And I'll sit there and say like this too, Barbara. If Charles Manson did pull up and say we're going to Colorado, I would think about it. That could be your passion for what you really want to do. Is the idea of letting that emotion take off too much where you're not thinking clearly about the person you're getting in the car with? But at the same time, I told a friend of mine, too, I've done this before when I got in cars. I did this one time I was working in Florida, pest control. I used to go to these people's houses. I loved going to people's houses and spraying and doing the pest control thing. I was all excited back and forth making, you know, this one people's house I went to that house. And then the next day, I was watching the news. And the people I actually had went to spray for, they found them in their heads. They found them in their house shot a day after I went in to spray them. I do believe protection in certain situations does work. And sometimes your angels are protecting you even when you don't ask for protection. Because that's not the only time I've ever missed things like that. I think there was actually a guy who picked me up one time, and I could feel something about him, and I found out later on that I think he was a murderer. But for some reason, he never did nothing to me. But I told people when I was hitchhiking, I always felt like I was very protected. And I even asked people, "Why'd you pick me up for?" They said, "A little voice told me to pick you up. That you're just looking to get, you're just looking for a ride to get from point A to point B." And I said, that's kind of funny. That's exactly what I was thinking when he picked me up. All I'm looking for is a ride to get from point A to point B. I'm about as threatening as a freaking piece of mustard seed. I ain't going to hurt nobody. And I guess I sent that vibration down into the universe. And, you know, that's what I told people. You know, you get picked up. And there's been a couple times where I haven't done that one time. I remember one time I got picked up, too. I was like, gosh, you know. It's kind of crazy when I get picked up all the time. It seems like it always seems to be what I need. I remember that one time I was sitting there going, I sat up all freaking night. I was tired. I just want to get a ride. And I was a certain place I wanted to get a ride to. And this guy picked me up in a tractor trailer, which people told you all the time, tractor trailers do not pick up people anymore. You can get fined for that. This guy did. He picked me up. He stopped at a roadside at a truck stop and said, we're not going anywhere. We're going to stop off. And he says, you're more welcome to sleep in the upper bunk in the cab of my truck. So I ride to where I was going the next day, but I also got a chance to rest up in someone's top bunk. And I think the guy also said, are you hungry? I said, yeah. He goes, I'm buying. Let's go. So that was a heck of a ride. I'm just saying, with the situation of things that happen and stuff like that, I understand what Amy's saying, but, you know, in this situation, I can also look at the idea, too, of being realistic. I had to get out there. I wanted to go to Ohio. I couldn't, some things just wasn't panning out. People were putting a lot of pressure on me to do something. And I think the reason they're putting a lot of pressure on me in the first place was I should have left sooner than I did. So the pressure that was actually on me, I put on myself because I didn't listen to the guidance and say, you need to go now. It's like 80 degrees out, guy. You know, get out there and get on the road. I guarantee. And I even proved it to myself. I said, okay, if I'm really supposed to be leaving today, hitchhiking out of this place, then a friend of mine or somebody from work that I used to work at will come by and pick me up. Do you know, I swear to you, a guy 5 minutes later come by that I used to work with in this one warehouse that I was talking about, focusing on, came by and picked me up. I'm sitting there going, okay, I get the point. I got it. I'm going in the right direction. I got about 2-3 rides, but after I came to that realization, every ride I got was well over 100 miles, and it took me probably 2 days to go from Daytona to Ohio. And I actually had my last ride. I don't know if I told you this one, but my last ride that actually took me to my mom's house, I was like, okay, I got like 2-3 rides, and did 2-3 rides here, you know, 5 miles, 3 miles. And I was just kind of getting frustrated. Some guy came by, said, I can't give you a ride anywhere. But he goes, here's an umbrella because it's going to start raining. So, okay, thanks, man. You can't give me a ride anywhere, but you're going to give me an umbrella. Okay, cool. So I sit and try to, you know, try to sit and look at it for what it was. Be nice about the whole thing, right? And then I sit there and I say, come on, angels. All I need is one ride that will take me home and drop me off my front porch at my mom's house. That guy came back later, and I was talking to him. And he goes, well, where are you heading to anyway? I said, I'm just heading to Circleville. He goes, well, how far is that? I said, maybe an hour. He goes, well, I can do that. Same guy gave me the umbrella. He came down there. He drove me right to my mom's house. And he even came to the front porch and introduced him to my mom. I said, come on, guys. Don't tell me you can't ask for what you want. And there are some days I say, okay, I wanted 6 readings today. What happened? Maybe it was vacation time, huh?
Maybe so.
I don't know. I did that one day. I was just so happy about it. And I, you know, I asked for 4 readings that day, and I actually ended up getting about, I think, 5 or 6. Because I actually did a couple. I did a couple before I went to bed. And I'm still trying to figure out what to do with this Shannon thing. But she keeps insisting on to me that she's going to pop down here in the next 2 weeks, maybe sooner. And I said, okay. And then she asked me, she goes, is there any other place that you would really love to go? I'm like, no. Colorado. And she goes, well, how about Florida? No. I don't like Florida. She goes, it's warm. Okay, I'll give you that. It's warm. Maybe weather-wise. But some of the people I've met down there. It's like California. I've been to California 3 times. It's never panned out for me. I mean, of course, it probably doesn't mean it never will be, but I just have the urge to go there. So I was trying to tell her. I said, gosh, I had a neighbor down in Florida. Well, first of all, I lived down in Florida who wanted my wife. And I said, yes, you're right. If I would have knew what I knew now, he could have had her. He could have had her. But but it was just the idea of his niceness. He had an alternative motive. And a lot of people down there are like that. I mean, the lady I was staying with down in Daytona, she was happy. Goal as long as I was paying her the rent. Well, the first time I didn't pay her the rent, you thought she'd turn into T-Rex. She's going to take and throw me out the freaking door. And I said, what was so funny about it was, I told her, I said, I don't see what your problem is. And she's like, well, what do you mean? I said, I've done this before when I got behind, and the next week I always make it up to you, every time. So there's no reason for your hostility. She goes, well, this one couple lived here. I said, I don't care about that one couple. I'm not that one couple. She was mean, too. I mean, shoot, I got behind the rent a couple times. That last time, that's why I left. She actually stole my weights. I had an Olympic set of weights. And those things are not cheap. A set of those is like, if you actually bought a set of Olympic weights and had them shipped to you, it's about $300. Of course, I didn't pay $300 for those things, but like I tell everybody else, the ideal of having the opportunity to have those weights, they were worth a lot to me. And with the situation, I told her, I said, you know, the ideal of taking things away from people so therefore they can't focus on what they're trying to do, I don't think it's right either. She goes, well, you haven't paid any rent. I said, you know, for some reason, justify as you stealing stuff out of my apartment. I don't. There's other ways of doing this. And I told a friend of mine, I said, I was living in Colorado, a lady did that to me too. And he goes, well, don't you think you're responsible? You should be responsible and pay your rent? I said, do you realize that karma plays out in many, many ways, and you might be the vehicle that's playing karma on somebody else who's getting back what they deserve? Look at the people you're talking about. I've seen that lady. She lied to me all the time. Do you maybe I said, because I'm not trying to not pay the rent to her. It's just not working out that way. It could also be an insecurity that's manifesting too. There's all kinds of different ways why things are happening. I understand people all the time refuse to pay people rent and that kind of stuff and hang on to it. I mean, I had a landlord that did that too. He let a couple stay in apartments for almost a year because the guy hurt his back, and he'd actually gone to court, gone through the whole freaking thing with workman's comp, and was going to get a $60,000 compensation check.
Mm-hmm.
And they let him stay in the apartment. And then when those guys got their money, they skipped out one night and didn't pay him a dime. I was like, oh, that's kind of cruel. I mean, shoot, with the way the rent was, they probably would have given him maybe $12,000. And maybe they still would have had a good chunk to do what they wanted to do with it. I mean, well,
right.
You give these guys $12,000 and then give them a couple months of rent or maybe give them another year's rent. Then you can take that freaking... what, $30,000 that's left over, maybe? And really invest it. But they have a tendency to make decisions out of greed. But I always feel like greed also can be backed up and be traced back to an insecurity or a fear that they're never going to have that kind of money again. So they have a tendency to hang on to it like it's the last piece of gold that's on the freaking planet. Or you know how people, you know, metaphysical people are, what some readers are do. People walk through that door, and they're thinking, as that person walks out that door, that's going to be the last person I'll ever see in my whole life. So I better tell them just enough, so they'll keep coming back. My partner used to get crazy with me because I would sit and do these full-length readings, and she goes, well, that person's never going to come back. Yeah? And your point? You know, and she looked at me, and she goes, well, I said, and it just dawned on me. I said, I guess I really don't think that way. Because I was just thinking, I helped them out. They're gone. And I was getting to the point right then there. I was getting used to not seeing people ever again. it was kind of hard. I mean, seriously, man, if you're a really sociable person, you know, people crossing your path and never see them again, it happens a lot. You know that.
Yeah.
So you got to look at the situation and go, my gosh, I'd like to see her come back. No, you know what I'm saying. I mean, seriously, Barbara, have you ever met a guy or somebody you was interested in that you wish would come back? I mean, be honest.
Yeah.
So what? Okay, what kind of person were they?
Nice, open-minded, spiritual.
Was it a guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Did he have a nice ass? I'm just saying.
Not something I usually look at.
Yeah, but did you ever notice? I mean, the reason I bring it up because I was sitting there, I had a couple of girlfriends who would sit there and go, I would be walking to the bathroom or something and go, excuse me? Girls actually do that? I said, what'd you do? What are you talking about? And there's one girl I used to date. She's like 5 foot tall. She goes, you got a nice ass. And I'm sitting there going, I've never had anybody say that before. So I really didn't know how to take that. Oh, look who it is. It's hey, Wanda.
Hey.
Hold on for 1 minute, okay?
Okay.
Hold on. Actually, Wanda went on my website, checked out my prices, and she goes, you got some good prices, $125 for a session, huh? But she said you also got those things where you get, like, so many sessions for the same price. I said, yeah. She goes, get me one of those. Okay. Jump right in there and do that. So I'm going to sit there and see what she's up to and see what she's going to do, and Thanks again, Barbara.
Okay. You're welcome.
I hope you to call me up and at least do some kind of reading, man, so I can feel a little bit, you know.
Well, I will think on it, and when it's right, I'll do it.
Because you seem like you have things going good, don't you? You seem content with what I don't know if we should use the word content, but you seem pretty happy with the way things are.
I'm just going with the flow.
And you're happy with that.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's what I'm saying. I just feel I'm offering my services, but I'm sitting there going the same thing, going, she might well use my services for a while, man, if ever. Because she just, you know, you trust yourself. That's what I should say.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so I'm striving for that myself. So thank you for the reflection, the good stuff.
You're welcome.
Okay, and I guess we'll see you next Thursday. And
yep.
If you ever want to jump in there anytime else during the week, just let me know. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. You're welcome anytime you want. And
okay.
So yeah. If you have if you have any suggestions on some guests that you want to have on the show, let me know too.
Okay.
Or anybody who would like to advertise on my show, since I'm on 6 days a week. So if anything crosses your path, let me know. I appreciate it. Same here, okay?
Alrighty, I will.
Because I'm constantly, okay. One thing I want to change on some of the things is if you could send me like a, I'm not sure if the last bio that I have, because I actually deleted it. So if you could send me another bio with all your the prices and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to put it on my show page.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
I'll
so, alrighty. Well, thank you again.
Okay.
You have a great night. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.